All right, let's get this meeting in up and going, shall we? I'd like to welcome everybody out here today for January. And it's January, isn't it? January board meeting. Attendance looks really good. Appreciate everybody showing up. Awesome. We would like to invite someone if they would like to offer an opening prayer.
Please. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to be gathered and pray for thy shift and for that to be positive and make the decision for the benefit of the ranch. We are grateful for you, the country. We're thankful to enjoy the blessings of the community.
Amen. Thank you. Let's go around the room and take a roll call if we would. Everybody will speak loud so we can catch it on all. We got three different recording devices plus Vamp on your telecom. Mark, Grant,
Ben Clarkson,
Kurt Yeager,
Dave Turley,
Kurt Homer,
Lori Bear, Cam Maya,
Patsy Clarkson,
David Turley,
Ryan Dudensky,
Linda Alderman,
Jill Clarkson.
Val Cramp was also here just a second ago. I'm sure he stepped out to the restroom. Who's on the teleconference?
With Vance Green on teleconference.
That's the only one signed in right now, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, thank you for that report. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the previous board meetings. Linda failed to bring him this morning. We did actually make those boards, those meetings, or those minutes from last report. Did everybody get a chance to read over them? I know Ben suggested a couple. Ben suggested a couple changes on there. And I put out there if somebody, Linda, would go ahead and change those. I'm sure it happened. Anybody want to make a motion to accept the meetings, the minutes from last meeting?
I would move that we accept the minutes of the last meeting.
Anybody want to second that?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Do we have somebody in Shauna's absence? Linda, are you covering this with notes right now?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Was hoping to have Shauna here to present us at the last previous 2 months meetings that have been missing, were failed to be reported. Hopefully she will come here, get those produced for us. Next item on the agenda is the financial report with Linda.
We've been receiving assessments in good time. We have approximately $30,000 in the bank, and you have an aging report for your executive to go through on those who and on that list is kind of who has not been in assessment, but they're coming in on a regular basis. We have had a couple of mid-sized bills, $3,100 for Alan T for the work that he's done. And then some of the bills that we didn't pay anything in December, so we've pretty much been those in January, I think, that came in this last time. I was thinking we should probably get fuel this year now because it's starting to go up again. So.
Are you on your way to the meeting?
Anyway, you've got the financial summary paperwork ready to look over. That's where we're at.
Okay, thank you. She's on her way.
She said she's at her office in the other minute.
All right, thank you for making that call. Next item on there is we're going to talk about the bank facility. We need to make a...
It's $15 now to be here. This year they decided to start charging us to be here before we do that. Anything. So that's not a budgeted item, so I thought we should probably just check that. Not a huge amount.
Is there any other alternative meeting locations we have from the board?
Most everything else in town charges more than that. And we have the internet here, which is fine.
Well, that's the thing is we've had trouble with the, you know, building that function or whatever for the call in the internet stuff. What happened to the County Emergency Services, is that a temporary?
They started charging also, and so we came here. That one, I believe, is, I think it's 25, I can't remember. It's been 2 months since I talked to them, $25 or $30.
I'm fine with just meeting here.
I don't think we need to make a motion or anything. I just wanted to make you aware that it's going to cost you.
Yes, for the bathroom, too, next time.
I think it's hard to ask for the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
In the bathroom, we just have access to the toilet.
Exactly. I have no idea.
I just talked to Mr. Ramsey. He'd expect me to rush, so.
thanks for letting him make sure the
kids. One at a time.
All right, moving on to the next item on the agenda, the last minute report. Paul is not here today. Ben, do you have anything from Paul in that lineup? Or?
He had sent out some reports. I think he's, I've talked with him several times over some of the stuff we've worked through that I can kind of report specifically, you know, what he's reported to me or ideas as things come up. Overall, I think that they're doing a great job and working hard. I think they're doing a little better job reporting, and so people do know what they're doing and also open to, other projects or instruction. He's trying to stay busy cleaning the shop with weather permits and stuff. He's been back out rush hogging here in January, which is, unheard of.
Better for the equipment, less dust.
Yeah. So between putting the snowplow on, pushing a little snow, and then get back out brush hog as soon as it melts off, it has been a little bit, he was going out real early in the morning and sometimes while it was still frozen because once it warms up, it's muddy enough that it was making a mess. So.
He was out brush hogging the other morning, and he's also, they pulled all the crushing and the equipment out of the pit, all put the grader down and smoothed out the road down through the pit, so it's good. And
did they get some gravel hauled along the airstrip?
The gravel's been hauled along the airstrip. That's turned out really nice. And he went up, Alan dumped, and then Paul spread. And he's got it spread out. It's really good. So all the way along there, it's in real good shape.
That'd be for that section off the county turnoff right up to the north end of the...
Yes. Yeah, that's done. So, I was hoping for some moisture to see how good it is. We haven't had any. And by the way, we just bought a real snow cap. It's sitting out there at the airstrip. So, of course, the best time to buy is when you don't have snow.
We don't have any snow. So other than that, he had some family stuff, and I agree with him that he's going to miss a meeting. And missed any meetings. For quite some time, that this was a better one to miss than in the heat of summer or busy season stuff.
Very good. All right, moving right along.
Before we move on, I received a letter from the county from in short, if I can read it. It says, in order to comply with the 911 addressing grids for King County, the following address has been assigned to your property, which is the headquarters area, 63 South Deer Springs Ranch Lane, and it is on the Alton grid. Please post an address sign using the following King County guidelines, and there are guidelines here to post an address sign so that you have it up there. He laughed. So,
well, I was going to ask you, Brent, did you get one of those letters? Or you're a resident out there?
I didn't get a letter like that. I got a letter about them reassessing my property.
Yeah, I think they're doing that, so everybody's getting off the deer. This just came a day or two ago, so
late.
But I've dealt with it over in the valley out on the side where they've gone through and trying to get a number posted on a house for any emergency call is what they have to do to be in
compliance. They can answer that on the survey.
What's that?
They can answer an address on the survey.
No, that's a totally separate issue. The tax survey, for the most part, you can throw them in the trash for as far as I'm concerned. This is something that they didn't want those numbers posted on the ranch house.
$60,000, $30,000 for piercing, drench,
swing. Okay, and then to go farther, do they want your property number? Like, I'm trying to get insurance on the cabin, and they want a physical address, so would you put your cabin, your lot number out?
Well, that's where the conflict is. The question I had on this, I thought we'd do it, you know, maybe, I'm glad you brought it up, though, is on Vance's map, we've gone through a named...
The street,
and is that Deer Spring Lane?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, well, we'll turn it in.
Okay, so I'm glad that. I don't want to conflict. The reason, part of the problem I'm dealing with, I've been fighting for, last month in Orderville, where little subdivision, and they just had the main road into it, uh-huh. And then they used lot 5, lot 6, and then pretty soon that got lost, and so all 5 houses have the same address. And so... I don't know that they want that, but I do know that they're doing stuff not full-time, not cabin, seasonal use and stuff, unless somebody is really living there year-round and in extreme weather when there may be more of a chance of a 911 call or something. You can go back into a 20-acre lot and there's only one house, then, when they say lot number or whatever. But like the ranch house where there's multiple buildings and they don't know which one to knock on for. So I don't know that they're going to assign a number to everybody. Again, you can always, put a lot sign out that says lot number such and such. And a lot of times people put, their last name or something. So it's good to know.
My guess is this is written in January 11th, is that we as lot owners will probably receive notification.
That's the thing is, I don't think they're going to do it. They deem our year-round residents, so that's why Val and some that are over at Podunk, Brent is up there all the time. They know Brent. I'm assuming that you'll get one also. We just need to get that call and make sure that he gets those four numbers, and there's a size requirement because you can't see them from the parking lot big enough so that the house is marked. Again, sometimes we can just do the stick-on letters from the hardware store.
No.
Or something.
On the overall county grid, however, they can assign a number to that particular spot, so all house numbers can be calculated on grid and given a number. And eventually we'll go to that rather than lot numbers.
Who is that from? If anybody's interested to ask, what department in the county is kind of over this?
Barbara Hanson, Kane County Building Inspector. Okay. You can go on the county website if anybody wants to know and reach Barbara Hanson that way.
Yeah, make a comment. Here are the tax notices to our property. It's very critical, I think, that all of us address this. It's a 5-year reappraisal. And we have an opportunity to get our taxes lower. One point that I'd like to make is, and we've fought the county, Val and I went to state and got it reduced several years ago. If a property sells for, let's say, $30,000, and you fill out the form that the state sends you and says, oh, yeah, I paid $30,000, that's what they want to tax you on, and that's false. You did not pay $30,000 for your lot because the association property is being taxed separate and apart. So your membership has a certain value, and the land has a certain value. When we started, we were able to convince the state that the membership had a value of about 50%. So if somebody paid $20,000 for their unit, $10,000 was on the land and $10,000 was on the association membership. And the state accepted that testimony and could logically, and the county has kind of followed that. Right now, even though we've had some sales out there for $30,000 or $40,000, your tax market value is still usually around $18,000, $19,000. If the market value of a unit at Deer Springs is $25,000 today, the land is, if that's accurate, is only half of that, or about $12,500. Some people in sending in a questionnaire that the state sends out said, oh yeah, I paid $27,000 for my lot. Well, that that is misleading and harmful to everybody up there. However, the questionnaire they're sending out now is really doesn't have hardly anything on it because it deals with buildings, and it only has one place, whether you rented your property and if it's sold in the last 3 years. So I don't know that there's a whole lot we can do. I will meet with Linda and Linda Little, and she used to work for Deer Springs, so she knows the program up there. And she's the one that sent out all these forms. I don't think we try to get the tax unreasonably low, but I sure hate to pay tax as an association on the association land and then paying that same tax also on our individual lots. So if that comes up, yes, Brent.
So bottom line, what are you recommending? Is it when we... Of course, I haven't exchanged my property for 10 years, but if we were now, or someone buying something now, and they paid X number of dollars for it, they really only list half of that when they for tax purposes? Is that what you're saying?
Usually, when I get those, and I get quite a few of them,
sure.
I put down the land at the price that we feel is good about.
Okay.
And then there's another place down there that says, other personal or something, and usually put there association membership with an amount.
Oh, okay.
So that these forms are used, and we follow through on some of them later. So that if somebody sells or buys, both parties get a questionnaire from the state of Utah, and if they'll put whatever percentage they think should be as a land value and the other percentage as a membership value, then it's very clear. For the first 20 years, I and everybody else just put down the price.
Right.
And it about sunk our ship.
So that thing is people may value it different, but historically in King County is right now everybody's enjoying paying tax on basically half and half, half land, half membership.
Okay.
But where they reassess there in 5 years, if a bunch of people that bought in the last couple of years have their full value, all of our taxes will double. So that's all we just need to do. As a real estate broker in the county, these letters go to everybody when there's a transaction or when they reassess. So I get calls weekly on these in some area or something. And a lot of them, again, where we're in a down market, I don't mind reporting. They write the letter saying, by law, we have to send this letter out. That doesn't mean by law you have to fill it out. So 90% of them go in the trash. Utah is a non-disclosure state, and so you don't have to tell them anything. Some of those that have improvements at Deer Springs, it may be easier for you to fill out that, I have this much square footage and stuff, instead of having them come poking around trying to determine it on their own. But if you haven't bought or sold the last 3 years and stuff and you don't want to, it's not going to harm anything to throw it away. If there is a down market sometimes and it gives a reflection, especially where we've been decreasing, then it's nice to report so that they have some valid indication and they're still not going off 3-4 years ago's prices. But the important thing at Deer Springs is that anybody that reports anything, half value or if they feel differently, but whatever it is, just make that distinction between the associations.
This is great information. I mean, that's something I would have never heard.
When is the next newsletter going out?
Nancy's in charge of that, and I would assume pretty soon, and for sure by spring. And that would be good information.
Would that be out soon enough to catch everybody on this issue?
No. I don't think they're going to work right
back
now.
In 10 days. Yeah.
The 20th. For instance, the 30-acre parcels over on the west side, the value here is $24,000. So if that's doubled, then those should appraise out there for $48,000. They're not anywhere near $48,000. They've always sold the same identical price as all the 20-acre parcels. And so the county is multiplied the acreage and has it substantially above what it should be. So, again, hopefully we can document the thing honestly and not be paying double for the value of your lot.
Mark, if you wanted to put together a blurb, I can send out an extra to all of our email contacts and get this information out this first week. So do the wording for me and I'll send it out.
Would you like to word that out for Linda?
Could do.
Okay.
Just email it to me and then I'll forward it on to the membership.
Okay.
So I think it's very important. Like I said, if you know,
it's a lot
easier to get off and go back and try it again. Especially if there's only just a limited amount of days before we can get this thing submitted and we need to hit like.
Along these lines, I have the association questionnaires. What would you choose for me to be filled?
And it'll be soon.
What do you mean the association?
I got questionnaires for all of our association lots.
Oh.
From the county, from Linda. So what would you like me to do with those?
This particular questionnaire, the first three lines is all that it applies to vacant lots.
Right.
And
then we have the headquarters lot.
I'd be happy to look at it with you.
Okay. Then I'll bring those by and you can help me send those in. All right.
Thank you very much for taking care of that, Dale. Thanks for the report there, Linda. We ready to move on to the next item? All right, next item for those who may be with us or join in the first time, it's just list our areas of responsibilities. The roads and fire protection is my responsibility, the ranch activities is Shauna, the water resource management and Dale, agricultural and wildlife is Ben, facilities and cabin maintenance, the finance, legal, and public safety is Jody. The ranch communication reservation is Ryan. So jumping into those areas right there on the road and fire protection, I had a couple of questions concerning the Title V. I'm going to be, we got one response there back for the Slide Canyon Title V application. I'm going to ask Ben to give a highlight of the report.
Okay, here's what we learned. This all came about after follow-up to Title V that Dirk, as President Brent Fulmer, applied for 2-3 years ago. Now there's been a changeover where this gentleman, Mark Foley, is over the real estate handlings for the BLM office. He found the application still open and pending in his files. And so sent us a letter last month saying, hey, I see this here. If you want to progress, if so, I need the check for $300 whatever. If not, then, you know, we'll close the file and consider it, you know, a finalized issue. We started that when Kane County did not have control and was not maintaining Scootum Prow Road for the most part. But it also included the Lower Slide Canyon Road that Larry Bear is president and the board 10 years ago or more, worked through Title V on all the interior roads of the ranch. And interestingly, I mentioned that Lower Slide Canyon Road was on their initial application, but for some reason at that time was removed. I'm not sure why. You know, he just said, hey, this was, I see on the other one, and it was taken off. So we made a motion last meeting, but paid $392 and applied for it. He immediately called me a couple days later and said, oh, dang, I thought you were going to give up on it. This means I'll have to do some work. So, but he does say in this letter, you know, we both visited on the phone, he was leaving right now here the 1st of January until April 9th. He's in Phoenix doing training for this job to actually come up to speed, which will be a good thing. But he said, are you sure you want to get Title V on Scootum Prow now that the county has won the quiet title action on that? They have legal ownership or whatever jurisdiction of it and are maintaining it, except the four little state sections that they're going to continue to fight through. But that'll be a matter of time. I'm sure it'll be solved. Because if we get that, there's a cost with it and that, you know, 12 miles of road or whatever, I'm sure will be substantially above what, you know, what we're going to want to be able to afford. And so I told him, I'll take back to the board. We'll look at it. I'm not sure. I had talked with Dirk Clayson, his county commissioner now, and he encouraged us to do it. He wasn't opposed to it. At times, I got the feel from the county. They didn't want us to apply Title V. And in this case, where the county still fights for those 4 1-mile sections, then, he said it may not be a bad thing. But anyway, he said, I'm going to be out of town for 12 weeks anyway. I'm going to return your check because if I cash it, then I can't refund it. And so he wrote this letter, returned our check, and just said, if you want to do both of them, bring it back to me and with the application that Brent filled out years ago. If you want to drop Scoot and Paw, then he sent a blank application, said just reapply for the lower slide road, and then we'll progress with that. He's calculated some things out here. It would be 2.84 acres or 2 miles, so 14,000 feet, 50 feet wide, or 17 acres more or less that we would apply for on the Slide Canyon Road. Again, the Scoot and Paw Road's, 10 or 20 times that, at least 10 times that. So that's the only discussion, and I can't speak for the board or anything. Does anybody have a reason or an idea or objection to dropping Scoot and Paw Road? Shauna?
Absolutely drop Scoot and Paw Road. If we start messing that up, all we're saying is we're giving power to the federal government that they actually, we're giving them recognition that they own the property. They don't. And that's what the whole fight about King County is. That we own this. Therefore, if we go to court and we say, oh yeah, you own it. No, we own it. It muddies up the water in court. So the best thing to do is get out of it, leave it as is, because the county is
I still think this needs some follow-up with the county, because, when the county didn't have jurisdiction, we were going back to the BLM to at least bypass the county if the county wasn't at that time doing anything. And again, we met with county commissioners, and we weren't really happy that they said, well, we're going to take the approach on fighting it. I mean, they were at least trying, but it was a frustrating time there for a couple of years. And so now you're saying, the county has quiet title. They won that in the court. So we would work with them if we needed to grade it or do something, we'd work with them. The only question is, there was another letter sent last meeting from the county. Was it an email? Well, saying that they would, they would do snow as they could, but they're not going to do any more than they...
just an email.
Okay.
It
was from the road department, but it gave me a little, I was a little concerned that the county didn't think, sure, we've always maintained that. Now that we have to, they said, they've used it as an excuse. We can't because, we don't have the authority to. And now that they have the authority to, now they're saying, well, if we have money and if we have time, and we'll probably push heavy snow, but, it's a remote area, just plan on it being a remote area.
I think they stated that they're going to snow removal for a year.
Yeah, if it's something like that.
That's a temporary thing.
Well, and that's where I just wanted to talk back with Dirk as commissioner, which understands both sides of things, or the road department to say, fine, we're happy to leave the BLM out of it. They have no authority on that. But as the DSROA, we still need to know that you're going to maintain our roads as taxpayers, or worst case, at least we have the authority to do some on that, because we don't want to be out there stuck and they would say, yep. Hey, that snowstorm back in October, we took care of the one snow removal, but you're on your own the rest of the year.
I think Natalie, they forwarded that email to you, Jody, and then I think you shot it out to everybody else from the
other. I remember the email.
I don't know where he sent it. The history of it says, Lee Beller didn't have phone communication. He asked me to contact, he's not real good with computers, so he asked me to contact county. Far easier for me to call. I found the county road department through their email address. I said, I explained to them that the last time that they had plowed snow, they'd stopped at the ranch, they hadn't gone all the way out of the breaker off turnout, and there were still people out there full time. Bert sent it back to me, his response, I think you saw his response, you're a remote area, blah, 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 this is what's going on. We can afford to do it, whatever. I wrote back to him, I've never asked the county for anything, I'm not asking you now, I was relaying a request from Lee Beller, whatever. And at that point in time, that was my back and forth. And I don't remember I think I sent it to you. I don't remember. I sent it to the board. I sent it to either Vance or Jody or somebody, and then she sent it to you guys. And Bert came back on my second response, and he says, "Look, you know, we'll do the best we can."
I think that they'll be cooperative and really do what we need.
Sure.
I think the letter was kind of, hey, cover ourselves. We can't guarantee everything. I was just a little bit, the whole tone of it, I was a little disappointed that they were that. So that made me think, well, do we need to still do something? But I agree, we can't afford it. It will cost more for that road than all the Title V that we're paying for already, which is
we'd be the only ones paying on it.
Right.
I have to admit that email, I responded on that email to him also from Mr. Burke that I told him we had a change up in our responsibilities here, and I asked him to remove Jody from that because he was on the road's lap and switched over to me, and I have not, he hasn't replied back to me yet, so I'll wait to see if I'll give him a little bit, then I'll buzz back with him. Yeah.
Can I speed up? Val Cran, part of this scenario is for how many years hadn't they maintained it? We still throw our gas tax to that maintenance.
Yes.
So we ought to remind the county not to whine about it because they've already been paid.
Well, the other question I have for those that are out in the Podunk area or have friends out there and can speak for them or whatever, do we want to make a unified front to the county that, look, whenever you're running the blade, Deer Springs goes to Podunk? You know, because there's been times that we've told them nobody's out there where it's winter. Just don't go past the east side of the, just past the well field area. But is that confusing to them?
Well, let me tell you what happens Friday, okay, because Dirk and Mike Noel were there. And they told them, they reported it and said that at this point in time, because King County is the only one that has won the lawsuit, okay, that they are still in litigation with trying to help all the other people in the state of Utah. And because of that, they're considering, which was to our favor, of reimbursing all the money that we paid out in legal fees back to King County, which means that we will get the money back, everything will be going forward, they'll take care of the problem like they have before. If you go to a Title V, you're back to the same thing. Okay, so the deal is down the road, we go to Title V. You really put a blade on there? No one. And they're not going to because they're not going to bring that. They're not going to go out there and do it. Even if you have the Title V, they're not bringing equipment out there to do it. So your best bet is stick with your county, stay on the road, and that's where we're going to get it because you're not getting federal help.
I think we're in agreement with the county. I think that as long as if we have to put the blade on there to take the snow off, not to straighten it out, not do anything else, and they don't get upset about it, I think that's our best bet. And, the truth of the matter is, if they're only going to do it once, more than happy to go in and pay them out of my own pocket if it needed to be done on a second time. You know, I've calculated out, I'm really good at putting numbers together, but I calculated out what it would cost to run the blade out there all the way to the Brinkerhoff. And I figured that would be a fair amount to pay them. Now, I haven't made that offer to them yet. But in order to keep that road open, I'd be more...
Well, like Al said, we're paying the same for every mile of road. And so if we need it, we should have the right to ask for it. That's why I was just asking so that we're on a uniform front because, Brent, you communicate with them and know them personally as good as anybody so that we...
The only bad thing about going to the Brinkerhoff when Lee's not out there is it's just that much further out we have to go to rescue people.
Right.
You know, if they get stuck just right out past Larry's place, we can get them released. We have to go all the way out there, and then we have one out there.
Then I think where it is good because I think if there's a question. They contact either you or Paul and say, hey, is somebody out there? And most of the rest of us don't know when somebody's out there or when they've already packed out and they're in pain.
Lee's pretty good about stating when he's going to be leaving. And he's going to be trying to stay there up until the Super Bowl.
He's actually leaving next Thursday.
And
he's going to be back 1st of March. So.
Well, where are they stopping now for the minute?
Well, they usually stop just past, they used to, where John the Davis property is right there, 137, they usually stop there. Occasionally, when it's real heavy, they stop right at the turnoff.
So we want them to go to 137?
Well, we want them, we prefer that they go to 137 and stop, you know, if Lee's not out there, you know, saving us all money
yeah.
for them not to, you know, continue on.
So should we give them a coordinate that this is where we'd like it to be done to?
Well, one of the things that we've done is that they've been really good about plowing out there when they have, like this, if they haven't plowed out that way and then Lee's coming back, they've on occasion plowed all the way out there so he can get it to at least the breaker hog. And then we've gone out and got him in. So.
I'm kind of of the same opinion as Ben, that I think we should have one consistent place that they stop, no matter
well,
what. Because if a driver changes or something like that, just so there is on record that we have coordinates that we want, that we need them to stop it in order to serve the members of the ranch.
Then I tell them the breaker hop unless otherwise notified. I mean, that's just as simple as it is.
That's what I'm thinking.
So if we know that Lee's left, say this Thursday, whenever he leaves, we can notify the county and say this is okay from here till then. We don't need that.
Well, I just didn't know, you know, Val and some of the others, how many of them say, you know what, I'm not out there all the time, but I do want to get out there
sure.
the month of January, you know, or something. And you, so I just don't want to shut somebody out. I mean,
how many more miles is that?
It's about 4 miles. From my place to Lee Bellers and back via is 25 miles. It's 25 mile round trip.
And what
it's
did
a
you,
long way.
What did you calculate that it cost the county per mile to run that freighter?
That extra distance.
What was that extra 4 miles? How much more are we asking the county?
It's a couple hundred bucks. You know, I mean that big blader there that uses. It uses about 6 gallons an hour of diesel fuel.
But it's several hours for them to work that. I mean, in good faith, if nobody's out there, it's more hammer on the road. It's people then being totally frozen by 10 to 4 miles back to the headquarters to say, I'm
stuck out. Go out past my place when the road shouldn't even...
I shouldn't be on the road.
So when they
stop right there before it drops down the hill, that's why. Time with me. I can still get into my place. In the wintertime, I'll pick my snowshoes out with me. And a lot of times, the snow is crusted hard enough you can just walk on it. But these guys get out in there and break through someplace. A lot of them are not going to make it back to the...
Well, but where do we turn around now? Don't your turn off.
You usually go past...
I mean, they should go down to that bottom because it is it's shaded and then somewhere else. Flat top there. John Davidson's
there. Like, and turn around there.
That's the fire hydrant.
And that's not really too drastic. But, I don't know how many people I saw year round coming down. Thing says we go through in Canada, you know. And some of the people they go through.
Yeah.
I've seen it one time. I laughed. This gal was standing there with her thumb on the leak on the back tire, and her husband was trying, it was a rental unit, trying to find where the jack was, where anything else was. I stopped and got their tire changed, and I tried to talk them into going into town and getting their tire fixed before they took off again. No, they were going to Page, they weren't going to go that extra 2 miles into the thing, but... I don't know how many tires I've changed along that. Some of it's been in pretty bad. A lot of people say, well, can I get through there? I said, no.
Well, that's the thing. People don't understand that in good weather,
in good
it makes the hair stand up. You go over there, by the time you get on that clay and going down through both out, or if it's wet at all, boy, you're praying and trying
to. You're in a trench
yeah.
all the way through there.
Yeah.
So 137, then you all agree should be the standard, lot 137 and that
area? Just right past. If nobody passed there, I think 137.
It'd
make it a lot easier for us rescuing people, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll his email again, I'll notify him on that one.
Well, I would just reiterate Brent's email and Paul's email, that if there's a question, they can email that and get current status.
Okay. All right. The other thing we had a little discussion about
on that one at the last board meeting was the pile upgrader to the lower flow dump reservoir. We were going to, I was drawing a blank on what we're doing on that one. I think somebody's going to get, you were going to get all of a sudden your scrappers or something, Shauna? See if they wanted to get some of that from that, or what?
I missed that. And after I was there,
I said, are they on Malay's lot?
Yes.
And Nathan was the one that was active and stuff back in the day. I brought him in. His younger brother was at the association meeting. Is he the one that's living in Johnson Canyon?
Shane?
It's Nathan's younger brother was there at the annual meeting. I met
Shane or Sean.
And he's living at the, there is a Malay, and I think it's him, that was working up at this new cabin that Rod Johnson put in.
Yep.
And he lived at the McElcrane house in Johnson Canyon. So they've encouraged the...
I think what we talked about is we were going to talk to them about do they want to help get it out, or do they...
They want it for scrap. That's what we
thought. Yeah, number one, that it passed the bylaws of more than two...
Well, it was.
Can we do it on outside of property without permission?
Malays approved it?
No, I think
they perhaps would. I know they had offered to give those trailers, or some of them, to other individuals if they would remove them.
Yeah,
have permission from Malays to go on their land and do anything.
Yeah.
I agree that they need to be removed, but I think we need to...
Well, just real quick, I mean, this went back to when they were pulled in there, that was the problem, is when they cut the fence on Brinkerhoff to bypass the cattle guard, went across the corner of the BLM, and... So when I was president last time, I came in, it was the donkey lawsuit that had already kind of happened, and the BLM trespasses and was suing the association. And so I went up with equipment and worked through getting that done. But with that, the county fire building department was going to go up, wrote a letter, said they were going to go and bulldoze them into a pile and burn them and then fall off the trap and bill them for the cleanup, demanded that they clean it up. But no one ever followed through on it. So it's been that big of an eyesore and a big issue for 15 years.
Somebody's gonna, what's to say that the county ain't gonna do that still? And, it is an eyesore and there is multiple dwellings, on the property.
Sean will follow through on
that. Contact them and see if they're interested in getting that stuff out there.
Oh, I need a number from LA then.
Maybe you can mention to them when it's brought up to the board meeting that...
I have to see if they're even interested in doing it, because it's a lot of work.
Well, yeah. Well, they, when Dave John was out there working for Lee, they actually contacted him to go over and dig a big hole and bury those things. And he went over and looked at it and said, that's a big hole.
That would be too much to do, and I'm not sure if I'm willing to let that stuff hang on the property around.
Well, I think the smart thing to do is... Scrap
them.
Just,
see what scrap they'll take out of them and then just burn them. It's not just assembling like sometimes they do. It's a huge job. If somebody had a bulldozer where you could push them off and burn it and then pick out the stuff and then pull off the frame.
Well, we'll let them worry about that because that's what they do. That's the best. I can't remember over there.
All right, moving on. Next item on there was going to talk about the obtaining the Title V for the new fire escape that was discussed on the last meeting for the Johnny Brown at Crawford Canyon area. I had a question I posted on the email. Do we really need it? Do we need to spend the money? We currently have a road that accesses that area. With our budget and the shortfall that it is, I didn't see a big issue to spend the extra money to pursue that issue.
Can we put that up on the map so you can see what you're...
Well, what Mark's referring to is one just above Broadhall, all of it goes to Johnny Brown here, and it does cut off and come up into here. What there was discussion is bringing a road kind of would follow this wash and cut more here. which would bring it into the upper fish pond and cabin area.
Which is going to be nice, but we don't have the money yet.
Wasn't it? Isn't that what we talked
about? Yeah. Yeah.
Larry reported he had walked it.
Yeah.
And our interest was mainly just an ATV trail, but I think some of you will start building across there. I would see us building a road and putting equipment in there and what do you call doing anything. If ATVs started going across there, they would establish an escape route if it should ever be needed.
Do we need to pull a Title V for that?
No.
Like an escape route with ATVs?
No. I would table that for the present time.
Everyone.
Well, I think that
if it's established.
Association there?
Oh, it's National Monument, so it's a matter of if anybody goes in, you know, for the record, Ben Clarkson speaking, if anybody goes across there with an ATV, they're doing it at their own risk. If the BLM finds out, then, you know, it's up to there, but if the association's going to do it, we would need to hike it, flag it, notify them, and GPS it to keep discussing. It's a long shot. I definitely think we should have legal access to our lower slide road. That is a more high priority.
We don't want to pick part of the monument. I think that the smart thing for us to do is, you know, we got two sections on the Browns Homestead Road that would be nice, but then we should fix to make it passable with a truck. And then we've got. There's one section on that spur road that runs off of the Browns Homestead over to the right. There's one section there that you can barely get across with an ATV. There's a culvert there. It's just washed out on either side. And if we can go in there and fix that,
That's where it was. One thing that, you know, we've made some pretty good progress the last couple of years by prioritizing and say, look, we can discuss everything in the world, but let's focus on these. We've already planned and talked culverts, hauling the cement culverts to fix that. I say until we get that step hurdled and get the Title V on lower slide, that the rest of this is going to be detour.
All right, then I'm gonna drop the issue on working on dealing with those other things. Let's just maintain Slide Canyon, the lower Slide Canyon S5, and let's just keep it at that. So, all right. So the other item was, yeah, there was the Title V easement from 112 to 200.
Okay.
What was the need there? I was at loss.
And this is the one that, again, shows on the map somewhat coming, you know, to continue that, or we've also discussed Brent. We do have Title V up to the end of the Deep Trail here. You were running it so that we kind of could...
I've been on it. Enough to keep our Title V, you know, in relation to maintaining it.
Do we need to proceed with that? And for what reason?
I think there's still some...
I think there's more value in this than this.
Yeah.
You're talking a short distance, a fire escape, and an access for these lots to enjoy the fish ponds in the headquarter area.
It has to take the long
way. It's going to come all the way down and around. They just won't do it. But if they can, if somebody could... you know, with a vehicle, access over the fish ponds from here and stuff, they would use it.
That road should be used probably 2 months prior to the snowfall on the upper part of Broad Hollow, and that up the Natalilch area.
Up through here and stuff.
Yeah, that,
or
that,
was it that winter and
bad winter up through there, bad road up through there.
So that does...
So during the Title V application, can we include that one?
We can, but I wouldn't mix them, honestly. Where you know, an existing road and us getting easement just so we can maintain it and use it like we are versus going and building a new road are big enough with different animals. I wouldn't mix them and confuse them.
So we do need to proceed forward with the Title V for the 112 to 200. And is those the exact lot we need?
Or possibly discuss that with Mark and say, look, you know, we've also considered this. What do you recommend? And he may...
Is that something that, in the spring, that we can walk and mark? So at that time, as a board, we can bring better information. We can bring GPS coordinates when we make the decision. We can present all that at once to BLM, the road. That way we can not, you know, worry about it so much now. We can go out, do it, mark it, GPS it.
Right.
In the spring, maybe even do a group effort where we want to go. And that way we have all the information
for them and not make some high breaks.
It can certainly be postponed.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't even do anything right now because we're about to lose all the ability to go up there.
To look at when that happens is when I'm working on this, I talked to Brent and Larry Bear about it. This, using this Jeep trail that you had mentioned, comes up here through and stop, and then maybe connect to the end of that Jeep trail, and this is already developed and already used, through up here. It would be, I know it's not as,
comes
from right here and goes down. But wasn't there discussion on this route going straight across here that the maintenance, you have to, number one, make the whole road, it's very steep, it's very undoable, and the yearly maintenance alone would be incredibly expensive.
I mean, we can see all that next year for ourselves. We need to reinvest this when the weather's right, because we're going to stay up like about
12. All right, I'm just going to table that off then.
And, yeah, do March, and we start talking about it again.
Okay. Moving right along, man. Let's get on with the next thing. Everybody did take the chance and time, I hope, to read Brent's letter. You spent some good time on putting together, and Brent, thanks again for writing that letter up. I think we all need to look carefully at some of his ideas on how we can spend some, or curb some of that expenditure that we're doing, the wasted money for some of these vacant cabin settings.
The reason I came today was I'm not here to make the issue about, I'm here to look at the nitty-gritty parts of, you know, spend money on things. And, you know, I've never really been in financial trouble, but I know the way to get out of financial trouble is you've got to pay attention to the details. I'm not saying the ranch is in financial difficulty right now, but I'm saying that there's a lot of money out there. At least it's a lot of money to me that's sitting out there and that we seem to be spending money on in situations where we could be saving that money and putting it elsewhere. And for I'm an independent owner and I'm a real fiscal conservative. I'm pretty socially liberal, but I'm a real fiscal conservative. Until the two mix. And then my fiscal conservatism comes over from this. And I compared the cabin usage to a social program. Maybe not a fair comparison, but I don't use the cabins. I like having them there. I like having them available just in case I ever want to use them. But, and you can argue my numbers all you want, but my numbers are close in relation to how much it costs us for propane, for water, for other things. And I think having those people who use the cabins get a nominal charge as a usage fee it's either do it that way or put meters on the cabins, on the water and the gas, and then have the member pay that amount that they've used. Now, that putting meters on stuff is an expensive proposition. I'm just looking at some ways. We save a dollar here, we save a dollar here, we save a dollar here. We might not have to do another dues increase. And you know, the dues increase isn't breaking my bank, and I don't mind paying it. But when I look at the fact that there's a lot of things that I don't use, but I seem like I'm paying for, it's the same argument I hear from the people over on the podium. I've heard it for years now. They've all said the same thing. What are we getting from the ranch? Because they feel isolated, that they're not getting anything. And if they don't use the cabins, and we've not paid a whole lot of attention to the roads over there, and that you could feel isolated, like you're not part of what's going on here. And so I'm saying, if you play on the ranch, you pay. It's pretty much that simple. I don't want to break anybody's bank. I don't want to have anybody not be able to afford to come to the ranch because we instituted astronomical fees. But I also think if I'm out there, I don't see it any differently as if I need to go down and buy 5 gallons of gas from Paul because I'm out of gas. We're charging $5 a gallon. That's going to cost me $25.
I don't see that any different than someone coming to the ranch and using the cabins and using X number of dollars to pay every day. And, you know, to me, it just, you know, everybody feels like they've already paid for it. But anyway, I digress. You guys can do with it what you want.
I've got some ideas I'm going to propose a little bit later.
Well, I'd like to make a motion for a couple things. One, I'd like to make a motion to, you know, acknowledge Brent's work on that as a high value. However, we've set the budget for 2012. We have set the fees for 2012. That we revisit that towards and look at next year's budget at possibly, adjusting that, and making a better decision and something that may be fair moving forward and see how things progress now that that's out there. I don't know if that's gone out to a lot other than the board, you know, to get members, you know, feel on it, but one way or another, we don't use it right now. It can break the bank, but if it's picked up, then that is, you know, definitely a off balance. So that's my motion on that.
I disable that issue.
Okay.
Well,
motion to table. Discussion. I think it's something that is viable. It's a way to cut some of the costs that we do have. I think we probably shouldn't table it, but work on plans or ideas that maybe we can work on through the season and then maybe bring it to the membership.
Well, that's what I'm just saying, as far as, you know, changing things. Work on it this year, but try to implement a final decision at the end of this year and then at the annual meeting in September, budget with it in October to set the assessment, instigate whatever fees or changes in the budget, next year's budget.
And that might be okay, but let's look at one other thing too. One of my thoughts on Brett's plan was that maybe for this year too, we took the numbers from Linda as far as who's using the cabin when. You all have a copy of the cabin usage. I'm thinking, well, maybe if nothing else, we can start cutting some of keeping some of the cabins closed during the times that we see they're not being used. So maybe that will help some of the family costs.
I think that's what Ben's saying. We have to start implementing these ideas now, start moving forward with them, but make rock solid changes come the end of the year.
That's one thing we can do this year.
Right. Yeah, well, we can start curbing our. So we can start trimming the expenses.
I can all make adjustments and directing. I mean, I remember your calculations on the co-pay uses and some of that stuff. Any of those that we cut to save the association money, let's work through this year and start now, but not make a fee change or a dramatic thing until we can count that. Because I don't know, that stuff that usually goes out with the budget, the assessment, by the way, it's, you know, people already have some reservations for this year. Can we go back and say, we're going to change it? So I do think that that's fair, and it's really probably not going to make a huge dollar difference. So we probably don't even need a motion on that. I do want to make a motion, though, based on that we make it a priority to repair the cold road between Podunk and the ranch this spring. We've got the material. We made a major improvement out there on that culvert crossing that we funded into this last year. But in if this road will fulfill what we just talked about in Title V and allow them. I mean, I don't believe that there's a more beautiful drive on the ranch than that drive. I drove it after years, and I thought, wow, that canyon across there, and it's in great shape except for those two spots.
Right.
We really need to make that a priority so that those members are encouraged and have a better chance of coming over and using the heart of the ranch.
I would expect that, and I think that that's one
place that they like to be
on the ranch activity
when you do our activity. That would be one of the drives that we would take the people.
This is a big drive. That's the trail we do take with the quad. And you're right, Fred. There's a couple of spots even on the quad that's hard to go. When we access and go to the pond, or if we go up on top of the forest, that's the, nice way around, and it is a nice run. So
it's one of my favorite ways, and I personally
people didn't know about it. But
we should title that "Road
Bridge." All right.
Let's get out. Can I speak for a second?
Hi, Vance.
Just before you leave Brent's proposal discussion, there were five positive responses, like within 2 days of me, you know, posting the minutes and his discussion on the internet on the DSR Yahoo group. Don't know how many of you guys belong to that. You know, you might want to consider joining. I can digest those and email them to you, but it was five very very positive responses to his proposal.
Would you email those to me, please?
I'll email them to everybody. I'll email them to everybody, and maybe a little bit of a nag at the end there how to join the group so you can, you know, be involved, too.
I appreciate that.
All righty.
Anybody want to second that motion?
Sean
did second it?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
Let's move into the agricultural and wildlife, Ben. Discussion on the hunt contract. I think Jody had some, you know, issues when you discussed that. We may need to discuss. Just a report, I've made several attempts to contact us. He's supposed to be here in town today, but he's been super ill. And so every time I talk about him, all the time, I talked with his wife, and he's been very sick. So I've not been able to talk to him. And partially for some of the things, again, I visited with Paul. Paul's very comfortable in his discussions and feels that things have gone great, as he reported this last year. We'll get things that will go good this next year. I still want to talk to him about some of the, you know, rotation and a few of those things. The only other questions that come up with that is part of C that we can discuss at the same time. I wanted to, you know, see kind of, you know, what his take on that. But other than that, the hunt contract, you know, we haven't, you know, progressed or anything until he could come, and I'd like to, you know, meet with him there at the ranch and line out things and stuff for this one.
I've been concerned, Ben. I think that we still have maybe no fence on the ranch that will contain this cattle. We say, oh, it's okay, but no, it is not okay. The fences, tremendous amount of work has got to be done on the fences to contain the cattle. The question is that our responsibility or his responsibility? And if he's ill and doesn't do any more fence work than he did last year, the cattle aren't going to stay where they belong.
Well, but let's make sure we understand. He is not responsible to do any fence work at the ranch this year. Paul is well aware and knows the priority. Doug Hunt's lease says that he will be responsible to maintain fences that we have brought up to standard. The only fence is the one that Taylor Button just built. So that one around the north end of the meadow would be Doug's responsibility. And if we get enough snow to do some damage, he's going to need to do some work. Other than that, he's not expecting, and I'm not expecting him to be up there building any more fence.
Okay, so that it's clear that it is the ranch's responsibility.
That is, as far as I'm concerned, if there's other questions,
the way that was read in there.
Agreement. Hunt is responsible for maintaining existing water systems and fences to keep cattle in. It says existing. So once they're there.
Yeah, but it also says in another place in there that the DSRA will, you know, bring in our standard.
Yeah, that's what we have to bring them together, and then he has to maintain
that. Right. One of the deltas that don't even exist, and that we've talked about that haven't been touched for 20 years.
Yeah, here's the paragraph.
Doug is not going and rebuilding those. That is our responsibility.
Deer Springs Ranch is responsible for new fences at the meadow and to repair two fences that separate the Broad Hollow airstrip pastures and the airstrip and Deer Springs Point Range for the purpose of wild rotation and fertile management.
By the end of 2012, or we face a $2,500 shortfall in his contract for the lease.
Yeah, 2,000 every year.
The 2,000 or 2,500?
2,000.
2,000. I remember something. So I know that, you know, where I have it, I know that Paul has talked with Doug about doing that work. Paul is aware of it and planning to. You know, and that's something that I've encouraged him. He, with this new post hole digger we bought since last meeting, had tried to go out and try to start putting in some post holes, you know, because he could be building fence now. He can dip the ground when it's not frozen.
enough to get the post holes in. And so he is worth it.
He did get it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we budgeted whatever. That was the, he went down, that's when he found the grain drill.
Okay.
He went down and called me and said they have one. I don't have too much money. He ended up negotiating them from $1,200 to $800. And so he did buy a John Deere auger before the tractor put in the bolts.
My concern, however, is in a mountainous ridge, you can't get a tractor anywhere close to 90% of our fences. So, yeah, in the meadow, you can run the tractor and drill the holes. That's not where we need the fences. The fences are out in the boondocks where I don't think the tractors can go.
A lot of manual labor.
Yeah.
The old way.
And I think we budgeted $10,000 for fencing, and it really needs to happen. That's my only message is fences need to be.
Well, and we've talked about some of those new fence projects is possibly substantially above what Paul can do by himself, and we've discussed several times of Paul maintaining and helping work on existing fences that can be fixed up, and some of the new fences, contracting that, getting them built to a quality stand for the next 30 years.
In order that we're keeping the barn, that does contract.
Right. So I don't know what other concern, if there are other concerns, Jody, or anybody that I should be talking to Doug and working through.
Well, we had his cattle, plus we had some other cattle, but the ranchers around were complaining because his bulls were getting a fair cow, and they were really, we had a lot of range war, and so we canceled his contract. Somehow we were able to do it because we had Robertson's cattle, and we had some of the other people around that had cattle. They didn't want his bulls in with their cattle.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons that currently says that he's the only operator on the herd, charging him accordingly for that. However, we've had some other cows on our ranch, but if your cow gets bred on our ranch, that's your problem, not ours.
I can just say it one more.
Okay. Well, let me drop down to C real quick because that's one thing that, again, at least dovetails in. It's been brought up, concern about the bylaws. People who purchased were allowed to run a cow with the herd and restrict. I want to talk to Doug specifically. I don't know that Doug has a problem if a member, well, a couple things. If a member says, hey, I want to bring up my beef steer that's cut, we've already talked about it today. You can't be bringing bulls up there that then is breeding the herd.
Right.
But if you have a beef steer that you come up and it runs with his cow, I don't think that Doug has a problem with that at all. But I want to double check that with him. On the other hand, this is something that the board's been faced with before. There's people that were saying, hey, I was promised I was going to have a string of horses and I was going to be able to ride, I was going to be able to do this. When this was put in the bylaws, DSROA owned a significant, some of her grazing up on the forest, which was lost, and a lot of other things that have changed. That's why, we have not, provided that. We did a couple of years ago, we had some, and again, we ran a small herd separate from his, and I don't know if any of those members are. I think if there's a member, we almost need a rule that if you plan on grazing a beef cow next year, we need to know by a time, and I think that we could still coordinate it where, let's kind of put them in a different area, separate from his, if that's a concern, or run them with his. But again, there is laws now that if it is a breedable bull, it's got to be trick tested, and a lot of those things, that was the problem before. We had a bunch of, stray cows running around that caused dog problems and, the ranch problems, so.
What about disease and injections and things like that? How does the membership handle that? If I wanted to put a steer on?
As long as it's a steer, then it's not a problem. It's the breedable bull that I can't even go and put a bull out in the BLM without having it, trick tested.
You have to do all that. Okay. I mean,
you just can't do that anyway. That's new law in the last 10 years that you just can't, do that anyway. So that's the only thing that Doug's
worried about. You know, again, if you want to put a cow in there, he doesn't care, but it may get bred.
And then that's the CCNRs on that. It says that we're allowed for membership. Each member of us, our membership of us, has 2 head of cattle, and that we need a permit will be issued each year on a first-served basis for that.
Right.
So maybe we start doing that.
Well, I'm not aware of any applications for a permit.
Right.
But at the same time, and if this permit, as we've always said, if 300 people run 2 cows, there's not room for 600 cows, and at this time we have chosen as a board and with, for my time, the membership support, that we will subordinate that to lease it to an outside operator to gain the $10,000. I mean, we're up to now, I was going to charge just for those because, I was there when we put the Hunt cows in the meadow. I know it caused a problem. But if you just take a straight graph and look at our agricultural income, it's Brent Robinson, Doug Hunt, Brent, then we kick Doug off, we go back to $3,000 a month and fight and tooth and nail to even get our money for years. And now, what is Doug paying in this?
$10,000.
$12,000, where 2 years ago we were getting $3,000. It's just no comparison. And so, with it, it's going to come a few sacrifices. And if somebody doesn't like that, then I'm happy to hear it. But my opinion is, it's well worth the aesthetic value, and it's well worth the financial money. And if anybody right now is in breach of the lease, it's 99% our problem, because Doug has paid. Has he paid through last year? I mean, is he completely paid out?
His last check, I think.
He is paying an exorbitant amount of money. And Dirk and I pushed him and said, hey, you're going to pay more than top dollar, but then part of it was to fund the fencing and get on the project. And that's our, problem. So we've still got to work on that. With Paul. I'll visit more with Paul on defencing, and if he thinks he can handle it, or we're going to need to, contract Taylor or somebody to help with some of it. Because it needs to happen.
It'll be
easier, I think, unless we have a super heavy late winter, is to get in there before he comes in May, June, and get that stuff so that we enjoy it this year and we don't have a nightmare with cows running and other shit. So. All right. Okay, so I think that... D. Did you see that D right there on your list?
Yeah, I was looking at yours.
The discussion, I apologize, I didn't clearly state or put on that. I think all of you saw the photographs and the issue on the John Deere grain drill. Yes, that were emailed out from Paul. You responded on it. So anyway, it's deferred right now to this meeting. The reason Paul was down there was to pick up the auger. And the gentleman came in with the John Deere grain drill used, bring it back as a trade-in, and said he would sell it for, at the time, he said $800. Paul sold it right there, because, he knows how rare these are. And so I said, send me some pictures. We talked about it, and then I had him send it out. We had discussion. Since then, I called back. It did have one... A part on the tongue and one disc that was broken. They've now welded up and fixed those, so they want $950. And I asked them, they're firm on that, because again, it should be $1,500, $2,000. And so, anyway, I asked them to hold it until after this meeting. And so it's just a decision. And I'm just not familiar with the budget this year and some of the discussion and stuff, as I was asking.
That's the grain auger, right?
Well, no, it's grain drill. The purpose, we worked for 2 years with the dryland farming with the group that, did the well field, a lot of that. If you're irrigating, you can plant and then irrigate it and make it grow. If you can't, the only way to work it in dryland farming is have your own equipment so that when you have that 3 days between too wet and too dry, you can get in, and we would this spring at least go in and plant a well field in some of those areas that have already been prepped. They've been disc in the last few years and should be quite smooth and free of rocks and stuff. But if Paul says, oh, it's just about right, let's try to borrow a neighbor's drill in Kanab or somewhere and call it a grant, by the time you get it there, then you've lost your opportunity. So if we buy this, I would like to see us still, you know, budget some money and at least try to replant the well field in the spring, and then that plus more, maybe some of these areas that we'd have to look at it, that these brush hogging off up in broad fallen areas to try to plant either with the summer rains or definitely next fall, and continue to have a goal that we're replanting, you know, 20 acres or 100 acres a year, and keeping some of that, you know, maintained better.
We need a drill, not a broadcast.
Yeah, a broadcast will work in some of the rockier area and stuff, but it still will never come up, you know,
it was
a lot of dirt.
A lot of it is just throwaway money.
Should we have a motion on that? I would move that we buy the grain drill for $900.
$950. Well, I'll send out the official at $950.
We have $2,000 in the tool budget. I think that would be in line.
Okay.
Don't know what our major tools we need this year. Does anybody else have anything on that?
I had another area of possible funding on that. A week ago, Linda, was it?
Yeah.
About a week ago, we had a major collection from the attorneys.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking that wasn't a part of the budget, that it was an old, we hope we collect situation, that we could use some of that money to fund this project along with some fee to go with it. And then I think we could pretty much split that money and put the rest of it back into our budget that we was a shortfall on the last year to help be there for our heads.
$1,000 shortfall last year that we ended up about $2,000. What is the significant amount of money you're talking about?
$3,900.
All right.
I went ahead and accepted, I guess it sounded like bringing up the camera on the from the attorneys. There was a $300 overage on the charge for the collections. For it, I went ahead and authorized a split of that $300. So we ate $150 and the attorney ate $150. And we captured that settlement for the outstanding dues.
Good.
And I think, have we got that check yet, Linda? It is on the way, according to the attorney's office.
So we can leave the tool budget as it is and just have this with additional.
I think since this is money we don't know if we're ever going to see or not.
Or a portion of that will pick up the expenses that we have in December that are on this year's budget. So we can consider that.
Well, that's what he said.
So how are you handling it, looks, Linda, you know, as far as the budget?
So do we want to end your motion now to add that to pay for it?
That motion shouldn't even report where we need to on the budget. We don't need to identify exactly which button comes out of.
There's some additional items on that, but I think I'll bring those up afterwards. Mm-hmm. I don't think those other items need to come up for the board.
What was the final price? $950
for the drilling?
$950.
What's that?
All
in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion's passed. Gil, go ahead and you'll take care of that.
Please.
Yep, that's being held on your account.
It is. Okay, I bought it. All right. But if the ranch didn't want it, I would have brought it over here and resold it.
it's very important.
Yeah, there we go. Another way to make money.
Yeah.
We can resell that
puppy. All right.
That's all.
All right. Moving right on, moving into water resource sale.
Okay. The Water Committee telephone conference a couple of weeks ago, and one of the main things that I think came out of that meeting was Jody's introduction that at the present time the ranch only has one approved water source. And a concern that one water source becomes impaired or unusable for that we would be in deep trouble. And her suggestion to the committee was that a second water source should be developed and approved for the use of the ranch. We disagreed quite strongly on when it should be done. She thought in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, accomplished. I really think it needs to be accomplished this summer. And but the fact that the ranch does need additional improved water sources is certainly a reality that we need to address. I think the other thing that we ended up with some at the end of the meeting was some of the committee feel that we should move slowly and not move forward on the development of the Meadow Canyon Spring. That will be our next topic of discussion. Is there something else that came in our Vance Green and Jody and I were on the phone talking about the water needs of the ranch. There are several water needs. Someone has recently also suggested that water development throughout the ranch may be done on a neighborhood basis because the people in Podunk have different water requirements on Slide Canyon. So there are different areas of high personal interest that maybe should be done by different committees rather than the one water committee. So whether the one water committee does something, I would suggest we look at reorganizing to consider some of the needs of individual areas for their water budgeting and construction and see what happens. Is there something else that we should report out of the water committee?
Yes. And comments to what you've just said, I propose, first of all, when we have our water committee meeting, Robert Allen was there as well. And what I was suggesting was that maybe since we only have the one source headquarters, not the only approved one, because we have other approved systems, which is not approved for public drinking systems, but that maybe it would be a good idea to have a secondary one in place sometime for when it's something to the one down at headquarters, that we would have an additional place to haul water from, get water from emergency. At the discussion, we had, Vance had brought up the idea that we used to have two committees for water. We had the Meadow Canyon Spring Committee that was just focused on that plan, and then, or that project, and then the regular ranch committee for water. And we decided to meld those. We all thought it was a good idea to meld those into one committee. We want to keep it focused within that one committee, any water projects going through the ranch. So we went ahead and decided to eliminate the two separately formed committees into one. We all agreed it would be a good idea to have an alternate or if something were to go wrong with the other system down at Ranch Headquarters. We also talked about development of Meadow Canyon or Lee Springs to both get an option looked at, but Meadow Canyon Springs definitely has the potential to serve more people than Lee Springs would. So that, and it was also better geographically situated to handle that, the surrounding area. There's so many lot owners around that can benefit from that system if we were to go that way. We also decided that Phil Clarkson's resolution was unacceptable as it was written because we still want planning and contracts in place before we move forward. Now, discussion also continued in how could we get this done without having to, we know it's been on the books for a year. We've been trying to work on it, but we feel like we're not getting very far. But we do have a plan in place, and we spent another hour after phone after Dale came up to try to figure out how we could work this out. And here's what we all been thinking of. First of all, we would like to continue and complete that TC engineering survey sometime within the next 2 years. $700 cost for us to do that. But I think we can somewhat maybe work that into the schedule. It wasn't fresh this year, but it could definitely be something we can look at next year. And we also, with the help of the engineer, the best plan after we received that survey was determine the yield from the spring and assist us with planning how many lots it really could serve, as well as how viable source is it going to be for members to haul water from. That would be key. Then the next thing we would do is put together a plan with the estimated cost and timeline to develop the water system based upon their findings, and the stages listed below. Number one stage, develop the spring to the spring box. Number two, install water lines for hydrants for members that would like to haul water from the location near the upper pond. Number three, determine how many lot owners in the adjacent areas would like to have a water connection to that lot. And, of course, that would be the sole responsibility by the library. Number four, bring all plans and estimated projects, projected costs before the membership during the annual meeting for their input. If the membership agrees to the project and wants to move forward, we do so by voting on the project with the agreement that all costs of the project will be shared by the membership in the need of a special assessment. That way we know the project this big is a $300,000 to $500,000 project, maybe more, would be split that number one, we would want it. Number two, are we willing to pay for it? And that's where the committee went with this information. Very question.
Well, I think on the water resources that we need, the cabins, I think Lee Springs, we need to find out how much water that's capable of.
Yes.
But then, I think those individuals that are adjacent to that should be able to have an opportunity to get into it. But it's going to cost them how much to drill a well on their own. They should be, they should have to pay whatever, basically, the main figure for that. Get in that way, the funds for developing the spring could be reimbursed to the ranch.
I see what you're saying.
And yet, it would be cheaper for them to tie in with it, but we need to know how much water we're going to get. And then have, if they want that, 44 for my place, but 15,000 or whatever it would cost to drill a well approximately in that area. It would cost them that anyway. It'd be better off for them because they have the water without the off with that and figure out how many people could that well would support after the needs of the ranch.
Right.
But it would also be a means for the ranch to have the money, and it would be the responsibility of those getting the water, so everybody in the ranch wasn't paying for their benefits.
So you're thinking that if a lot owner in the area wanted to connect to that spring once it was developed, that they paid somewhat of the same fee of drilling their own well to be connected.
Lovely, yes.
Or maybe at this time, wait so that, again, I have a benefit of why should I go on yours like I'm drilling own for that, maybe a lower rate
well,
of that,
yeah, but
still just money into the project.
It needs to be a reasonable figure, but what they need to realize, if they drill their own well, they're responsible for every situation that comes up on that well. But I think it protects the ranches, getting the water we need for the upper cabins and whatever the ranch needs, that should be the first goal. And I'm not against helping to pay for that, even though it probably won't affect, benefit me in other respects. But if the people that are, okay, I want water on my lot, and you have to set basic. Most of them are not going to garden like I doubt any of them. But and that would be a different thing. If you had somebody who wanted to put in 10 acres in garden like it would be a different situation. You have to have that. But for use, if they have water, they don't have to worry about making sure their generators. They are not pulling by spraying and all this kind of stuff. Develop. But it would benefit the ranch by bringing money for our water system into the ranch. And
I hear your point. And that's, I don't mean to cut Larry off here, but I don't want, the reason we created a water committee is so that this meeting wasn't the water committee and these kind of detailed discussions. I don't want to duplicate it. Now we're meeting in the board. We have a water committee meeting, and this is just a report. You know, and I don't want to pick them up. If that's the finisher report, let's. Let's discuss you, but this, I don't want this board, I'm not going to sit here and discuss all the details. Because I did in a lot of those water meetings for 2-3 hours, and come here and rehash it for 6 hours is
counterproductive. We need a plan, and that's part of the plan, part of the process of figuring out that plan. And we stand, the water committee stands perfect behind this.
Who
so
we
all,
the water committee,
Suzo, Melana Vance Green, Robert Allen, myself.
Here's something I've observed on the website. There's a lot of committees out there, period. There's committees that people don't know they're on the committee.
Right.
There's people that on these committees that have no interest in the ranch. There are people on this committee that have been passed on and gone from this life. And I'm actually in all favor of abolishing all committees, period, and starting fresh. That way, as Vance said on one of the last emails I sent out, that, well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff posted on the Internet, but a lot of these things don't exist and never did exist. I think to clear up a lot of stuff, I think we should abolish all and then start fresh with any new committee and talk about committees before they're placed together. I make a motion we abolish all old committees.
I think there's a whole bunch of those in the CCNR that were put in place way back when that we can look at and say, okay, we don't need that, but we have a solid water committee. What other committees do we have here?
I know, but you did mention that there's a lot of committees. You just in your little thing, you did mention there's a lot of committees that are that we have a lot of committees.
There is a non-functioning one.
Yeah, four. Agreed. Mark, why don't you amend your motion to abolish all inactive committees, which would pretty much wipe out everything except the water one.
There you go.
I think everything's been, up till this reason, has been inactive. But.
No. Water committee's been active for 2 years.
Mr. Chairman,
right.
May I make the second report and make it resolve where we are and why?
I think Dale's on the lead here. That I'd like to have his next thing before we do close on this motion.
Well, what was the motion?
That we abolish all former things.
And right now, that the motion has died for a lack of second. That's okay.
No. She seconded.
Oh, she seconded?
Yes, she did. We didn't have a vote on it, but we were just discussing, but we can hold that motion for a minute. Go ahead, Dale.
I think there's no question that everybody, some say that the membership is opposed to the Meadow Springs resolution. I believe that is totally false, that the membership of the ranch are all in favor of developing that as a second water source. I think also the support and strength behind developing that water source is significant and needs to happen immediately. If the ranch has the funding to do it, then wonderful. If the ranch doesn't have the funding to do it, then we need to seek alternative funding to make it happen. And I would propose making a motion now to adopt the resolution. And then, if it is seconded, then we open it up for discussion to really move ahead immediately on the water situation at Deer Springs and find ways to accomplish this. So let me pass this out so that the board can see it and follow along. Ryan, could you pass this out to all the members or people? There's, I need 10 copies there.
Board for sure, and then just share some of the muscle crowds. I've got one already.
And with that, there's a news release for the next newsletter going out from the board. So I'll just keep this here for a minute. This next explanation can be used in our discussion period for answering questions. See which words you want to change if this resolution. I will move to make the resolution in a second. Larson Investments LLC seeks authorization from the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association to proceed with engineering applications, spring development, pipeline construction, management of the Meadow Canyon spring water source. Progress authorization will be shared with the Board of Directors on a monthly basis. The budget for this ranch improvement will be the responsibility of Clarkson Investments LLC. This is the same wording that we used a year ago to move forward on this. Because of some suspicion or whatever motivated, this was recalled. A committee of five of the those questioning the resolution were asked to serve on the committee a year ago. I don't know that there's any report here today from that committee that gave guidance to the Meadow Canyon spring development. And I think we've delayed for a year in accomplishing these things. So there's my motion. What would you like to do?
Can I say something?
It's seconded.
I want to say something.
Let's open now for discussion.
This is, as many years as I've been on the board, this is exactly what happens. We talk about it, we talk about it, and there's no action. So we try to take something forward, and then it gets drawn backwards, and then we do something, and nothing ever gets done until people stand committed on a project. We are now back to the same thing when we started a year ago. We should have just moved on forward with it. I was dedicated to do it then. I think that our water source is not going to get any less. Our demand is more. Now, if we couldn't budget it in last year and now we're behind on the budget, how do you think we're going to do it this next year? How are we going to keep doing this if we don't have the funds to do that? That's what happened with our roads. We kept saying, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do this. How many people in our membership want to keep raising our fees to do this? They want to do things, but they don't want to pay for it. So how are we going to do it?
You keep talking money, it's the people who are on the project.
Exactly right. And then, so I was in agreement with this a year ago. Now
but
we're back to the same
money.
Thing.
Why
so
bring the money?
There shouldn't be any there because if he's willing to do this.
Money. I just don't understand why. Is there something else that you're assuming or you believe? About money, because you keep bringing up the funding. There's no funding. He said he's going to undertake the whole bill.
I know that. I'm the same.
I'm just confused.
I'm in favor of this because for the reason that we do not have the funds to keep doing it. We have never done it. We've never gone forward. And why we're doing this again, I'm in favor of doing this.
I think the resolution paper today needs to be changed to Parks and Investments LLC seek authorization from the board of Deer Springs Ranch Members Association because Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association is not present. I think you just need to change that wording before
you
want.
Don't represent them.
Yeah, we do. I agree with Dave.
I still think it should be from the board.
Okay. Here's a little more discussion that can be perhaps shared with the... Let me have one more back again. This for those in the audience who may not have a sheet in front of you. It says the Meadow Canyon Spring Water System. The most valuable water right at Deer Springs Ranch, 89-1259, 134 acre feet, is a full irrigation right for 34 acres of cropland. The Meadow Spring water is believed to be of culinary domestic quality. This mountain spring has been running unattended over the past many years and has been of little value to the ranch. A required water right, and this is an interesting thing, a required water right for one home is 0.5 acre feet. So this water right, if fully developed, could serve 298.7 homes. Last year, Dale Clarkson, developer of Deer Springs Ranch, asked the board of directors if he could help at his expense to develop and improve this valuable water source for the ranch as a state-approved drinking water source, the surplus water being used in an engineered irrigation system. Clarkson Investments is ready to move forward with this ranch improvement project, with the front-end capital expense being borne by Clarkson Investments. This year, the expense and management of this system will ultimately be borne by the users. It's not a Santa Claus program. It's a matter of upfront pay to get the thing off the ground and moving. And by the way, some of you may wonder why some of my family members are here. I'm committing to spend their inheritance. And they're concerned about this. If we're taking money out of their kitty and extended family to accomplish what we're talking about today, they have a very strong financial interest in this. And so that's kind of telling you how much water is available there in the meadow, and that it is the risk of the front end of the thing is being borne by us. How far can we go? I don't know. We can't do it 500,000, but we can at least get the thing moving with the studies and the information that would allow a committee or anybody else to make some intelligent decisions. We're trying to outguess everybody, and yes, the ball needs to start rolling. So I would like to see this go in the newsletter when you prepare. Use it as that. Now, I'm wondering, is on this resolution, do you want us not to do the engineering? Do you want us not to fill out applications? Do you want us not to add some local management to the water source? It blows my mind why anyone would object to this proposal to get the program off and running.
Because it is your family.
Yeah. So I would, with that, open for additional suggestions.
Is there any
discussion? Back to what Shauna's saying. Yes, I understand what you're saying. This has been going on a long time. We have progressed. The roads have progressed. The roads are the best shape I've ever seen them in. The Water Committee has a plan in place that could progress. They're saying that we're not working on it. We are working on it. We have a plan that's in place that will protect everybody. We do have issues with this resolution being open-ended because I see no contract in place. I see no plan in place. I don't know what we will be liable for in the future as a board and as a membership.
What he's saying is we got to find out what's really there. And he's wanting to go find out what's
there.
And he's willing to make that move right now. He's willing to make that investment and that move right now.
This resolution should wait until the TC report survey is completed so we know what that spring will yield. We're going out with no knowledge. With no information.
We're going with lots of knowledge.
State
engineer knowledge.
We don't have a survey yet, Dale.
State engineer knowledge.
We don't have a survey yet, Dale. It hasn't been surveyed.
Okay. Survey for what?
What do you survey for? That's their job to do that, find out how much water it yields, if it's even a viable source to produce the water.
We already know that.
Do you have a survey?
I don't understand this.
We had a preliminary evaluation done first. But we still need the engineer to do a survey on this.
You mean an evaluation?
A survey
to me is evaluating showing where the boundaries would be
for the water quality use. The engineers go a little farther to see if it's a viable option for producing water properly. You know there's water there, but how viable is that? There might be some reason they dig into it and find out, oh, this is not going to work and this is why.
It's already right. Domestic quality, right?
Well, I'm willing to take the gamble that we know what's there. We've had engineers there over the years. We know what it is. I'm willing to put money on the possibility and the utilization of this water source. I'm not asking DSROA to put a dime in for us to do the rest of the investigation and find out, document for future.
Trent, do you have your question?
I just got a couple of statements. One of the reasons I left the board is because of this whole issue last year. I was labeled an obstructionist, and I probably was. I was the only one who voted against this resolution last year. And I didn't vote against developing the spring. I voted against the resolution. All I wanted was a plan and a contract. I think it's more than generous, Dale, that you're offering these things. I totally agree in concept with Sean. We talk about things, we talk about things, we talk about things, and things never get done. You only have to do two things to satisfy my, my anguish over this whole thing, and that is a viable plan and a contract. And that contract should protect you and your company and your relatives, and it should protect the membership. And if you can adequately, I mean, I'm not a contract specialist. I don't know. I don't want to be involved in this, to be truthful. I mean, I'm supportive of the idea, but every time somebody says to me, this is too good of an idea, oh, it's, you know, when anybody tells me it's too, you know, this is, it looks too good, it is too good. Now, if I got it on paper, I'm okay with that. Once again, as a fiscal conservative, I want a contract knowing that at some point in time or another down the line, all of a sudden, Clarkson LLC doesn't come back to DSROA and say, hey, you owe me $250,000.
Bottom line, right now, I want the money.
Okay. I think what he's saying here, this friend, is that if he needs permission to proceed so he can find out what is there, then I think he can come up with those numbers to take to those end users of the water, am I?
But this resolution,
this is just a resolution, like Sean is saying. Let's see forward motion. This to me is forward motion. We need to move.
If somebody would come to my lot and say, "Hey, let's drill a well, and I'm going to fund it," and we have an opportunity, we don't even know how much water we're going to get, and they're going to pay, and then if we get water, I have to pay half of it. I would be thrilled out of my tree, but I'm going in there, I don't know how much water I'm going to get out of it.
Would you like a contract on that, though, before they drill it? In other words, they might drill that well, in other words, they'd say, hey, this is my well, and you have no rights about it.
That's right.
Yeah, but
with not DSROA property.
Yeah, but
then you need a contract. Hold on.
Let me just say my piece on this, because I was on there before. I voted for this a year ago. I very much respect Brent's opinion, and I'm still mad at him that he resigned off the board over it and some of the issues, but here we are a year later, and we're all growing in frustration and trying to move forward. Everybody that I talk to on it is wanting to go the same direction, but we do disagree on how to get there, what's the timeline to get there, and a few of those issues. However, we have got to move forward. There is rule of law in the state of Utah. There is real estate law. There is water law. That I don't care anybody. I could give them permission to come and agree to fund and explore something. That does not mean in any way that they somehow, unless I deeded them my property, that now they own my 20 acres. Or that if they found water, that somehow the water right, which is in my name, is in theirs. The water right is clearly in the association's name. It is an association asset. The real estate is the association's. and there's, you know, no question. I agree that in this process, before this project is complete and there's water pipe to the upper cabins and the neighboring lot, we need to have an operating agreement for this system. They have to be a cost sharing of how it's maintained. But there is no way we're going to know those steps, that is step number 498 and 499, if we don't take step one to move forward. And for those that know me and know the situation, I know, and we've come back before, there is a question of trust. There's a question of all the what ifs. But that being what it is, I can't change it. We all have to make our own decision on what is our level of knowledge, our level of trust, and move forward. There's still a lot of unanswered questions. I completely understand and acknowledge that.
Maybe our next step should be, let's go ahead and get the TC survey done.
Well,
then you can propose this again or something, but one step at a time.
Well, let me dissect this, because I don't want anything to go unsaid. Jody, let's discuss that. I said I'm believe me, I don't want any more jobs, but, I would argue I'm a member of the Water Committee, and the board asked me to be a liaison. We met that meeting. We've talked about, we've had this bid from TC for 6 months now. And if it is, we still, and just to be open, there's this rift, and I'm just stating the elephant in the room, between what you said, you reported the Water Committee, and what Dale's wanted to do, and we continue to try to work together, and I applaud both for trying.
Why don't we agree to this resolution one step at a time? The resolution includes everything right.
That's
now.
Correct.
If anybody wants to put a resolution or a motion forward, they're allowed to. This is the one that's on the table now. So as a board member, I've got to make a decision on it. But if it is, as a board member, in my opinion, if it is a process of we're going to go through this over the next, maybe fund it and take that first step, if you do the TC engineering in the next 2 years and stuff, I'm not willing to wait on that. As a board member, I am not going to wait on that. I have an option right here. I have questions on this. I do think that it's going to need to have a substantial amount of influence. I am comfortable in Dale reporting to the board monthly, on a monthly basis, to answer those questions as we move along. I am confident that if there's something that, as a board, we are uncomfortable with in some of those reports, that we say, well, we have to say we need to shift and redirect this a little bit because you're getting off course of where we feel it needs to go. But we will never be able to steer the car until it has forward motion. You can't sit in the parking lot and turn the wheel all you want and do anything. And so, well, I hear in front of us, I think it needs to go
forward motion. It's just not as fast as he wants it to proceed.
Well, it's not as fast as I want it. It's as fast as anybody wants it.
Okay, that's point taken.
Right.
I think this is a little bit more open-ended than I want. I think if we could revise it a little bit, I want him to know that the board has his support on moving forward. I think if, from listening to the conversations, if we struck, a couple of the end items off, I mean, we're basically saying, yeah, you go ahead and build. But I think after the application process, he should come back with the completion of call that phase. He's got them kind of in phases right here, application process. I think it should be added. That's what he has to approve after each phase that he goes forward. Because what if, as a board, we don't like the results from the engineering process or application? Then, I mean, I think maybe we should have the opportunity to stop it versus him going, oh, no, it's good, move on. I think as each phase of he's got in this proposal, I mean, we should have a vote, not so much I don't know, it's just very overwhelming. I don't have a problem moving forward. I think the whole process should be moved forward, but I think I don't have a problem saying, yes, you can get the application, the next survey done, let's move forward, and under the assumption that it comes back positive and complete.
Okay, Ryan.
Yes, so what? That's what is every monthly, or if we need to have a special thing that comes up, the email, or you call them on the board, we'll say this is what's happening.
Moving forward with the right kind of an attitude, the board can abort this thing every month, or I can abort it every month. And unless we have the confidence of the board, it would be foolish for me to spend money on this.
I agree. No, I'm
killed in 30 days. So it's so simple. As a team, we begin moving forward on this, and it has checkpoints every 30 days to say what do we have to report, where are we going, what's the overall thing. We're all moving forward in the same position, and we can cancel out. And I'll tell you right now, if there's any more contention, I'm out of here. It is not worth my time and my emotions to offer this kind of support, because I believe that much in the ranch, to have the aggravation and the problem. So if you want to move forward, this is written as generic as it possibly can be. And I think it needs to stay the same. I'll leave it at that.
I agree.
I think you just made my point. From a contract perspective, if you terminate at any time, or the board terminates at any time, you know, let's say you dug all the trenches in the meadow, and then all of a sudden, then I'm out of here. Okay? Shouldn't we be protected? And in the same sense of the word, shouldn't you be protected? You go out and buy thousands of feet of pipe and then get ready to put it in, and the board comes in and says, no, we changed our mind.
That's why I need an attitude that we're all moving forward quietly in the same thing. And
go on, Kate.
It's that simple.
I think it was
motioned upon. And I think it was seconded.
We're still in discussion.
Yeah, I need to break up. We're across the street to the bathroom because I'm a little slow around here. And so I would like to.
Do you want to break us anymore?
I have some thoughts in my head. Yeah, I think I'm going to come back with a question or two.
Go ahead.
I don't know how this works. I mean, I need a minute because this is a bomb on me. I know what I want.
Understanding one thing, though, right? We can't get every answer out there right now. This is just a forward motion. This is a motion we've been stuck spinning our wheels on for a long time.
Oh, Clark, I'm sorry. This is not a forward motion. This is a motion to completion here. This is not a forward step.
Not, this isn't complete. There's a long, there's a lot of work he's yet to go.
Complete.
He wants to be going on. He's not stopping, and he's not starting.
I'm saying once you turn that first shovel, there's no stopping. And this is giving him permission to do that. Now, you have some questions maybe when you get back. So can we take a little break and then come back?
Yeah,
and
then I need to.
Let's
take a quick break.
Okay, we're all the board members are back here. There's things going on. Listen, I'd like to make a 5-minute run on this discussion. We need to move moving on. So I'm going to give us 5 minutes, and then I'm going to bring this up to the next item. So if the discussion, if they want to continue for 5 minutes.
And yeah, I have some questions for you. I just assure you that my heart is about finally moving forward to completion. My problem is how you're thing without a contract, which I'm not going to push on too hard, you want all the way to the end. I would ask of you to change it to where you get to the water, the spring box, and when that is completed, then you re-come to the board, and we give you this step or to completion, because I think the spring box probably is the most scariest part for people. And so if you reworded your proposal to, I'll stop at the spring box, come back for permission, again, like you are now, approval, and then we'll go from there. And some of the other things I would like to talk about at that point would be the fees that you're going to charge other people. Then we could have more time to talk about any annual fees for maintenance or anything like that. But I'm behind the project to completion. But to ease some of the people's concern about not being able to stop, that way you don't hypothetically dig up half your springs and piping because you're jumping the gun on one step. If you could stop there, I think that would be... That would probably ease a lot of concern. The other concern is that I know you said in your statement that it is sole responsibility of Clark's Investment to undertake this financially. I would like for you to say in your own words also that you will not come back after the board for any money dealing with this. Because if you're going to take it under soil, under your own expense, then you shouldn't have a problem saying that I will not come after you guys for any money dealing with the...
That is a failure.
Of any reason. I mean, if he falls short, if he gets to phase one, great. But if he goes to the next phase and falls short, I don't want to have him come to the board and say, hey, look, I need $10,000 to finish the progress to the cabin or whatever. He can request, but he can't send us a bill.
A comment on this that my wife brought up, if I should die.
Yes.
Clarkson Investments has 13 members.
Okay.
Ben is a member, Larry's a member, Attorney Mary's a member. There's tremendous background in professional, every way, shape, or form in the Clarkson Investment. I can be the front guinea pig, but the thing has total depth to it as far as who's going to follow through.
Okay.
Yes, I think our written material already says that it does not involve funds from DSROA.
Mm-hmm.
The funds are going to come from the users. Mm-hmm. Now, if DSROA uses the water, guess what? They're going to need to pay part of the cost. It's only
normal.
They're going to want to put water up to the cabins.
Everybody pays it.
They're going to want to put water up to the sports upper cabins. I know they are. And they need to be honest enough to pay their fair share when they decide to open and utilize the water.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
Should have to pay for water that is their own resource.
Exactly.
Hold on. Cheryl, answer the question, please.
They are going to need to pay their share of the improvements of the water.
Correct.
The improvements that gets the water to their point of use.
The resolution states that he has approval to the Springbok. That's what the previous resolution states, and that we will do the stop because of
They want to pay half of it, and they want to pay no budget at all. So we have said very simply that it's here and that we will, from a business standpoint, you balance your budget. You can't spend more than you've got, or you can't get more than you've got. The state will not allow you to make profit on the water. Joey sent out a comical thing about our water project in Boulder in 2002. I have here how that progressed through, and I would like for Jody to read what happened to that project when the honest truth was on the table and what the people had to pay, four times what I would have charged them, but it was all done through the Utilities Commission in Salt Lake City. There are regulations on all these things that are guided by smarter people than us. And so those things will orchestrate this in every way. Our intent is to be simple, straightforward, and the resolution I put forth, you can critique and misspell the words and do whatever, but it's the simplest way to move forward and get things done and report and critique this thing as it goes along. And I'm willing to make that kind of a commitment if the board approves of it.
Okay, our 5 minutes is up on that one. I do want to move forward.
Wait, Mark.
No, man.
5 minutes.
We can't drag the thing out all day, Cody.
Well,
but what is the process if we're talking about this still 2 hours from now?
About lunch.
Oh, culture.
Well, that's. In the process, sooner or later, decisions have to be made. So I don't want to cut anybody off that has a chance to speak. But at the same time, And I'm a little frustrated because the same stuff that we discussed, we talked the same resolution, yeah. And we adjusted to January a year ago.
I think the board's made up its mind anyhow in terms of where it's going to go.
I have.
And the board is obviously a decision to make. So what's the difference?
He's going to be reporting monthly, and we can throw inserts in this every month. Does he get geared up and get started?
You only ask on a monthly basis.
That's permission right here.
I mean, in specific phases, like say we give him permission. Obviously, I would hope that in his wisdom that he would not start digging any trenches or anything until at least the report came back and the board approved the report. But after that, I mean, if they're still building the wells the spring, I mean, should he be digging trenches throughout the place? I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Should he ask permission to break ground in different areas? But should that be part of his request?
Hey, what are you asking?
That's what I'm asking. I'm just...
What in life?
If my question is so dumb, he says, yes, I will ask before I break ground. It shouldn't be assumed. Things shouldn't be assumed. And you guys are implying that's assumed.
Right.
If my question, there's no dumb question. If that's true, just say it.
Look at it as the water community. They're not going to come with hat in hand to the board as they progress through whatever the process they're spending GSROA money to do the same project.
I thought the water committee didn't involve.
Well, that was another issue. But the point is, they're not going to come with hat in hand to the board every month to say, okay, we've got the box built, now we're going to move forward with it. They're gonna proceed as money allows. The other pretty smart businessman, he's not gonna dig trenches if he has not done the previous work necessary.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make sense. If he does get that part of his project without having a preliminary report done or whatever, and finds out it's 150 homes instead of 300 homes we're that much farther ahead. So we haven't lost anything. The report says we have half as much water as we usually thought. We're still that much farther ahead. We've got that much of an asset that we capitalized on instead of letting.
But I agree with Brent. I don't think there's any dumb question. I mean, it takes a lot of time. And so, but you know, just because if somebody has a question, especially a board member, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're not answering some of these questions. I mean, there is no plan to start going and putting in a distribution line until the spring box is, engineered and looked through.
All those things, the same thing is true. Some are complaining right now, Ryan, that we haven't made application to the state. It may take 6 months. A lot of these things have got to happen at the same time moving forward on a comprehensive, well-thought-out program. It is a matter that you can go this far and then wait 6 months for the next one, or the whole thing disintegrates in the meantime.
I don't think there's a lot he can do right now between now and next month. And
I'm not worried about now and this month, because we're going to vote on it now. Then
he's going to get monthly reporting on it.
But he's not going to ask permission to do things.
Oh, but we can also extend the resolution at whatever point.
By looking at the board now, it will be very hard to get rescinded.
It has to be four, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah. True, good point. That's a good point.
And I voted for it in January, and I voted to rescind it when I thought we had a better plan. But now that's proven out to not be a better plan.
I would just like to hear his words on some of these assets, because a lot of you are answering for him. And you did answer right there. I'm just nervous about beyond the spring box. You jumped me too far ahead. If you could give me some words or something about completion of the spring box and then truly moving forward, something like that. I know there's a lot of things that are timely. It's better to do at the same time so completion happens in a better time frame.
I didn't fall off the front of the truck yesterday.
I'm not doubting you.
From a business standpoint, it's not going to... It must move forward in a step-by-step-by-step basis. And I commit to you that we're not going to go out and dig trenches ahead of all the other stuff that's got to be done. So I give you my word that we're not going to open the trench and start laying pipe without lots of things between now and then.
Okay. One last question, then I think Vance might have a question. And this is a no-brainer, so it's a question, but I do want to hear the answer. All this well, the spring box will be built to Utah standards and will be a certified, or I don't know the correct terminology, I'm not a water person.
Through public filtration system.
From all aspects of it, is that, I just want to hear you say that, yes, you will. That's all I want to hear. Thank you. Dan, do you have any questions? Please speak up.
Well, you hit the one. We need assurances that this will be built as a state-approved water system from start to finish. And Dale is correct in that the state pretty much dictates how that's going to go. However, we already have one off the books water system, and you know, be that as it may, this one should not go that way. Okay.
Ben, this is Ben, and because this is a bigger issue just in this resolution. I want enough comfort that as we move forward, we don't reset, you know, we're not in the same position a year from now. So I know there's a lot of varying degrees of opinion, but for Ryan's question, a backup to that, and to you, Vance, and to Jody, as we've talked about this, you know, because we've met on this, we've now discussed this, we've voted on it multiple times last year. Has there ever been discussion, or has Dale ever said that he wouldn't do it to state standard? Because this
nobody
is the thing's been
asked. Would either.
Oh, no, I think it's on the record. I know that
it's on the written record that he would.
No, he has multiple times before today, in the last year, multiple times, that has questions come up.
I never heard that. I think he's answered it.
It was a big point of Dirk's, because Dirk sits on the King County Water Conservancy and is up to speed on that. And that's one thing that Dirk's continued to make sure that, that we've had Dale get that for the record.
There you go.
Well, all right, hold on a minute. Hold on. The reason this is important is that it's all about the money, everybody. There is an incentive to not build a state-approved water system, and that incentive would be that it would cost a fraction of what a state-approved water system is going to cost us. So that's my concern, okay? Justifiable or not in everybody else's eyes, it's, you know, I see it pretty black and white.
You can ask them.
Right. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, you're not.
We exceeded the five minute limit mark. I apologize for that. I have one more very, very quick thing. I'm just going to throw it out there. It doesn't need to be decided one way or another, and then I'll shut up and you can move on. Guys, there?
Yeah.
Okay. Regarding the upper cabins ever hooking to the water system, and I'm going to put parentheses around that if necessary, consider this. You know, there was some talk about paying our fair share. All right. Well, let's look at this. If the system goes in, it's going to make a number of Clarkson Investments lots a lot more valuable by use of an association water right. He stands to make some money there. Given that, I really don't think that we should ever pay a connection fee. Now, paying for the infrastructure is one thing, and we can do a lot of that ourselves. I'm sure Brent would be more than happy to bring his backhoe up and dig the connection and do it all for free, plus, and we just buy our own materials. But we should not pay a connection fee to buy back our own water when that water is also being used to increase the value of some lot somewhere.
Yeah, the same thing goes in for the city of Kanab. You live here, it's your water right, but yet you pay a connection fee, okay? You pay a monthly fee, too, on top of that to maintain and maintenance on that water system. Doesn't matter if you live in Las Vegas, Washington, Idaho, wherever, you pay a connection fee wherever you go. And if a guy is willing to put something in there, he's willing. That's how the cities get all their money back, or a portion of it. It's not that they get all of it, so they're entitled to a portion of that for a hookup fee. You know, right now there's people who are getting hookup fees, I'm sure, on the ranch now that I don't know if they've ever paid into, but do they ever get a maintenance fee? I mean, in Kanab, I think a straight water bill, whether you use it or not, is a minimum $30 whether or not you use it. So So there's some things there that need to come about. I mean,
the budget needs to be talked about in length during the next
meeting.
3 or 4 years.
Right.
So
right.
Let's not budget the thing today.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. But I've done with just that was just for a year. I figure I'm allowed to. Interesting comment that you brought up about the comicalness of Boulder Canyon Estate. And I know most of you already have this document I sent out, these two court dockets. I'm going to give it to the rest of you that don't have it. And to me, it was a comical at all. There was nothing funny in there at all. It terribly was a terrible item of distrust that went through the association there. I feel like these things can happen here as well. We're not protecting ourselves. And I feel like if we vote through this resolution today, which I know you're going to do, you vote through it, I think it's going to show gross negligence on the board's part to protect association assets, and I want that on record.
You've read it, though. You've seen it.
I'm sorry. You got it? I didn't see it. Okay, then they'll send it. I didn't see it. All right. Good. Then I'll get my copies.
I'm out of here.
All right, let's move on. Did we have some kind of a
let me just say to that, the document that Jody sent out claimed false claims of people involved to begin with. Over the years, that information was thoroughly checked out by the state, and instead of us charging, I'm going to charge them $2,000 for a hookup. When the state got through, they authorized and charged the people $6,900 for a hookup. That's the state. Mine was $2,000. Same thing is true. I offered the people a $5 a month service fee, and they griped about it. So when they got through, guess what? The documents here that you need to have a copy of, they now all pay $30. So, there was false information.
Not you.
What?
Because they're paying to the state agency that took it over, not you, correct?
Oh, no, it's not the state agency. It's the local water company.
The local water company.
Local water company. But there was false information submitted to the state. The things that they did not want to do, did not think they could get around. By the time the state got through, the fees were much greater. And they're sending me a nice check for the difference. So that's why I say it's comical. If you take initial information out of something, you don't know where you're going from there.
In the final result.
It changes
well,
a great deal.
It's not to do with results. It's how it was done. And that's what they were complaining about was how it was done and how they were set afterwards for things they did not agree to.
And it sounds like later they said, sorry, we screwed up.
No, it did not. But I will read
okay.
That, but not
too far. Okay, yeah. Be open-minded to read through that.
I called for a question.
Okay, then.
Vote.
So.
So all our discussion and seconded.
It's been motion and seconded. Call
okay.
Vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye. Shall we have a roll call vote
so
that I can mark
this
paper?
Yeah, well, you have
some
hour left the record.
The records state that Jody was opposed to the vote. All the other board members, I do believe, are here present. Yes, they are. All right, we're going to move on to the agenda. We're going to get into facilities, cabin maintenance with David.
No activity.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped the middle of the show. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
There are a couple of small things, and I'm just like, I look right past it.
We don't have any big activities other than that. I told you we're just going to do the annual activity, and we will before that time ride that road and branch road.
Yeah.
So we have a when they plan, they won't show what we're going to do. We've had no snow. We've had snow. Our winter activities are still pending because we have no snow.
Okay. Now, moving forward on this. Sorry.
I'm going to pass these around and look at them because I look these up. I think that they illustrate what we've done the last year. So we still are to some degree as far as these water
issues. Go ahead, Dave.
We've talked about pavilion, and I think I'm going to turn the time over to Dale because there's a proposal to move the pavilion idea north, and here are some drawings that we can look As far as layout of the pavilion, far more than I suppose, and then the location of it is here at the north end of the meadow by the Red Reservoir. So I'm going to give it to Simon Dale.
We've talked about a pavilion, one that goes down next to the fish ponds, one that goes on Lot 111, one that goes up in Pipeline Canyon, one that goes down by Cabin 8, or in the Krill area, and it's our thoughts that by far the best area for the pavilion would be by the big trees up by the Red Reservoir. That north acreage has been unused and is a delightful piece of property, and so I would pass this around as for your consideration. We set aside some land years ago for a landing strip. We set aside some land for a gravel pit and some farming areas. They have one. And I think that we set aside that 20 acres up there for, and Dave can read this if you'd like to go from there.
The resolution for the Ranch Pavilion is proposed a 20-acre area north of the Red Reservoir at Dirt Springs Ranch be set aside as a recreational center, parking area, and pavilion location for sheep gatherings at the ranch. So we have a motion on that.
I motion to accept that resolution.
Okay. I'm sorry. Where are the funds coming from?
This does not require any funds.
This is no money. This is no
put it up there by the window.
Dale has.
First, the amount at the pond where we originally talked about.
Right. Dale is has offered to put this.
No. This says, read it. It is proposed that 20 acres north of the Red Reservoir be set aside as a recreation center, parking area, a pavilion location.
That doesn't mean we can't do anything about that.
You might remember that Mike, wanted a parking lot up there by the Iron Gate. And so, this is setting that aside as a future recreation area. Now, that by itself is enough. I've got other stuff here as far as a proposed building.
With the pavilion and actually moving forward the building, if that's in the, not in this proposal, but in some, that's a new thing. And I did get the email on Mike's, parking lot. Now that is fenced where, we can regulate cattle in and a few things, but that has been, historically has a designated, campsite there, underneath the, Ponderosa on association property when we had three different camping areas.
Where Mr.
Hunt got his trailer there this summer.
That's what we're talking about, and is that association
land?
That
is association.
That was Forest Service.
No, that's the Ponderosa.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Forest Service. The pavilion is in
So is that about what's fenced now? Is about 20 acres with this?
That's a great place.
So I would like to see if the board approves that, and then we'll go to item number two.
Information? Another resolution with no information? Can we have some information? I don't understand what you're planning
for. This is a proposal that
we're talking about. We were talking about before putting a pavilion at the pond area.
That's okay.
We can still do one. So we're talking now about.
Yeah, I think that they are two separate. The pavilion at the fish ponds, and
So. What would we need another pavilion area for if we already have that one? I don't understand.
Because this is
a large group.
I wish we already were. I hope in 10 years that we have, five pavilions.
Okay. So So we're thinking that we put an additional pavilion when we can't afford to put the first one out. We're going to put a bigger, better.
No, we are even talking about that. All the groups are designating 20 acres.
Correct, but they're going in that direction.
Preserved. Not for, we're not going to plow this and send it back.
Our
this area is designated on association ground for recreation, for staging trailhead with the parking lot, a future pavilion site camp area. And then as we have money, we develop that direction.
So all we're doing is setting it aside as
designating
that.
That's what I said. I mean, it's a little expanding. To go
we're only to say, okay,
under the pine trees, it's been undefined. I think what they're saying is now within the fencing area, now anybody can go up there and say what's in the fencing area, that whole area, which would expand it to the east where, like Duvall's recommendation, we can, gravel that versus keep the grass for the cows to eat.
All they wanted is a resolution to say this is what it's designated for. It really is, but then they want it right.
I just thought that was designated.
I did.
Seconded. So have a vote on that.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm opposed. And I'm on opposition.
Okay, the record, let the record show. Jody Akers did oppose. Everybody else was in favor.
So I don't have a vote for Ryan.
Oops.
Got the vote? I mean, let's talk about the pavilion.
Okay, so Jody and Ryan.
Can I just ask what the clarification needs to be?
Yeah, where are we going with that?
Because we're gonna have to revisit the issue. So what direction do we need to go? So you two are clear on what.
I think this next segment will. I emailed this to Jody and to Ryan, to everybody, so that they would have a week to think about it. We've talked about it for a year now. A pavilion that would be larger and accommodate the membership with the kitchen, restrooms, and the other things at that north end. It is our proposal, and if I have it here, I think I have one. Let's see my paper. Our thought is that the founders of Deer Springs Ranch and the family would be responsible, Jody, for building this building. That this will not be built out of DSROA funds. The one down by the fish ponds is the responsibility of DSROA. This is not the responsibility of DSROA, and their funds will not be used in the proposal. Now, in addition to it, here's a concept of a building 50 feet wide and 100 feet long. One reason we designed it that way is because when the LDS State Center here in Kanab was torn down this last month, we got the trusses over the cultural hall and the chapel, and we have them in storage yard out east of town, and they're 50 feet wide and so forth that can be used. We also got certain other materials that, again, doesn't amount to 10% of the building, but it is at least 10% of the building that we have as a salvage out of this business. I have commitments from different people who said, hey, I'll donate to that. We've wanted this pavilion up here all these years, and I am interested in helping to get it up and running. And I would like this to be put in the newsletter that goes out because of some claims that have been made. Any member of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association who objects to the developer Dale Clarkson constructing a ranch gathering place building at the most functional and desirable location on the ranch at the north end of the wet meadow next to the Dixie National Forest and the Red Reservoir without funding from DSROA, please write a letter. Please write a letter to Deer Springs Board of Directors, P.O. Box, and vote. Please stop Dale Clarkson from starting this generous project. Please encourage Dale Clarkson to continue improving this beautiful property. Also, let me know how I can help. Here's my name, my lot number, and date. And this going out in a newsletter, people will have a chance to share their ideas and make comments whether the building needs to be bigger, smaller, or whatever else is involved. Here's a list of the people who founded Deer Springs Ranch. Art Louis Tisdale, Galen Patsy Clarkson, Norma Shoup Crandall Clarkson, David Ellis Turley, Florence Turley, Garden Willis, Denny and Val Cram, Roy Simmons, Denny and Joy Jordan, and others will be involved in making this donation to Deer Springs Ranch. It's still rough. There's still a lot of unknowns. But with that piece of property set aside, the committee can begin working to acquire the material and put together a thing that we've talked about now for 40 years. And so that's our proposal, that you voted to set the land aside. We'll report and talk with the association and anybody that wants to critique or suggest how the building or how the donors should participate in making this building available to the membership, certainly may do so.
Last question. This is what I was getting to as far as informational resolution. This should probably come before the resolution so we know where this is going to. And I think this is a lovely project, Dale. It's a great-looking pavilion, and it would be really fun to have. But why, just as a suggestion or comment or question to you, why would you not just build this on one of your lots and make money from it? You can charge other outside groups.
He will if we don't let him put this out there on for the association.
Well, he's doing it for the association.
He's doing it for the association. If we don't help him, he's just putting it on his own place.
Now, you made your time out all those people that you read before, those are the ones that are putting money towards this? You're going to fund the rest of it or something?
Do you care?
It's free.
It's not coming out of our pocket. It's not coming out of our pocket. Okay, and the other thing I thought was comical was getting a letter on like this, asking for the general association's input on a project that costs $50,000 when we won't do this for a project that costs $300,000 plus. Just my comment. Moving on.
And my question about the first resolution of signing the land for it, I'm pro the pavilion. And I thank you and the people who are donating time and material. Why do we have to set aside land for it? Why can't we just designate a location for it?
Well, that's the same thing. You know, just as a comment, because in the recent month, just before we forget, because I don't, they're not here to speak for the parking lot and the Vols recommendation, is that, some discussion that, they made a recommendation and said that I don't know if anybody remembers, that they had something that's a value or a priority to them that may be able to, out of their group, fund some of the gravel for the parking area.
And what caused
that to happen is that things got, the dirt got moved around New York to let the water go into the Great Reservoir. And they were concerned because they couldn't park there right now because of all the dirt and soap. By designating this, then it will remain that way. We won't be moving dirt onto it. And that's why.
They used to be parking there, but that area did have to change with some of the flooding. And stuff. So that's the recommendation, is that come at the DSR gate, come through that next gate into this designated recreation area and build a parking lot there that would be,
this is the area that we fenced off last year.
Right. Yeah. So instead of leaving the DSR gate going to the National Forest, you come through that gate, and that area that now is all fenced where we could keep livestock in or out. So the cows aren't pooping on the patio.
Phil Hall, Val Cram, and other people have just heard this and said, hey, count me in. I'll come up with some funds to help.
I think it's a great idea, too. I think it's something we should ask for contributions from. I don't think we need to ask permission from everybody.
No.
We should ask for contributions if they're willing to do that. I think that
that's what he said. I like the point
of rejection. Why not just say, this is an opportunity for you to participate in this, and if you'd like, please send money to this fund. For the upper pavilion.
Because I think the people that want to stop it shouldn't be able to use it. They're the ones that want to go down on paper saying stop mail from going to the pavilion. They shouldn't want to use it.
They don't want it, then they don't leave it. So.
Just saying.
I just clarification why that land, why the resolution needs to be said about the land before. Irrelevant. Why do we have to say that? Why can't we? Because we didn't do a resolution, did we? To play
we made permission.
Well, yeah. No, we didn't take a vote. I mean, again, we had quite a bit of discussion where we failed, and I just want to see this looks for it. But where the other pavilion is, there's still some discussion, and we got moved.
I always thought it was understood that was set aside as a picnic area.
That's right.
For the ranch. And
but it's just an assumption.
I want to clarify, because my concern is now we're just expanding that from a half-acre campsite under the Ponderosa to the entire 20 acres, and that this pavilion would not be under in the trees. It would be just east of the tree. And we're not going to go ahead and cut out any trees. We'll allow that, so that can still be kind of a private camping area for tents or whatever, and then out in the open area, we'll have the shade, because we don't need the shade of the tree.
All that planning needs to come about. The main thing, Ken, is there's been so much contention and hatefulness in this board in the membership.
I represent
the members. You represent the members. And to ask some of these people to participate on a project that's going to last a long time,
right. It
just is better to have it in writing that the board approved this location.
We may find that some of the associations that wants to get involved in some of these things and start to participate and start donating, we might find that they also, as well, want to participate and see further projects develop.
Right.
You guys are probably doing something. Let me say, I've watched over the last 10 years where there's been some who say, I'd like to have a little better covered picnic area at the headquarters. But then we went out on the board, we approved, and Paul put quite a bit of work into doing at least a fire pit there at the lower cabins. When we said we do have materials, we need funding stuff to build a pavilion there by the west of the upper fish pond. And I still think, as an association, that should be a priority when we need to move forward as soon as we can. I would still, just so nobody's confused, all of them should.
Right.
If this group of founders that were there at the beginning are willing and can fund this big of a one is that the best location? Because, again, it's much bigger than what would be there by the pond.
Yeah.
And you put another main area that becomes a staging area at the north end.
The only question I have is, obviously, we don't want a lot of traffic in the Ponderosa, because that's going to probably...
Right, that's right.
But outside there and have that close to it.
To pull through the gate and pull in this pavilion, that's where I want it. far enough that, you know, that then if somebody's camping over there, that there's still a little bit of price. But there's plenty of room there. That's why we're expanding to 20 acres. You know, I mean, but...
I have one question when there's a break.
Oh.
Okay.
It interrupted.
Well, it got quiet for a second, but, you know, there's a delay there. Ben, this is mostly for you because you probably know the answer. If this thing is built as shown in the location planned, will it change the tax status of that association parcel, and who's going to pay the taxes?
No, where this is an open building, I mean, this would be legal under the county record and stuff as an outbuilding. I mean, it's not a residence or anything. It would be able to be done on the current zoning of agricultural property.
Oh, well, as long as you're sure of that, because, you know, when I look at the tax record for my trailer with a snow roof on top, the county takes special note of the snow roof slash porch as a separate item. And I'm asking you, you would know the answer. I don't.
It will not change the zoning or anything. It will change. I mean, it is an improvement. If, you know, once this is built and complete, the county is going to assess the value and say, we think that this building's worth $50,000, and so, you know, it's going to cost the association $1 a year in taxes, because, I mean, it is a tax improvement, so they will tax it on the property tax.
Okay. How much do you think we're going to be paying?
Well, like I said, I mean, it's... It may not even be $100. I mean, it's still an outbuilding. They're not going to consider it living square footage and be something that would be like a residential home.
Okay, well, it's just something you all might want to try to get a figure on, that's all.
I think that'll make or break us on a small change on that.
Right.
Especially for the value that we all have for our families.
Be able to bring them to gatherings like this, that might help bring more people back to the ranch to have a fine place to do that as an activity. I mean, look at
activities.
This could be a great activities promoter for the ranch. So, all right.
And it doesn't cost us anything.
It just, all it takes is just the separation of that land, which also, if I could throw in there too, that the original, I'm going to bring that portion right there up. The original acreage of the association was thought to be 2,000 acres. Well, during the recent recalculations and figures of that, we're off. The association is actually 2,020 acres, so we're over. Now we're back to balance. Well, it's not really. I'm just throwing that in there for whatever it's not worth. All right, David.
Okay, so
Kevin, we need a vote of anything on this pavilion.
I don't think
we're not voting anything.
So everybody's got a paper; they can fill it out and submit it.
Yeah,
I think that's all we need to do at this point.
We'll put that on the website so the membership can go out to do it.
You
can go ahead.
Yes. Okay, so Linda will put Dale's thing out there on the website for a response from the members.
I would like, you know, I don't want to slow that up. I just want to request one thing. Dad, when... And just for those that don't know, because, again, we're talking building this, when that organization or whoever wants to participate can get the money and stuff to do it, you've got some of the materials, it's still going to take a lot of work, but weather permitting or sometime this spring when you're up there, and I just want to mention that, you know, if we can state the four corners, so as people go up there, they can go up and see, get a perspective of scale of how big the 5,000 square foot building, you know, or something, because it's hard to get up there and say, oh, it's going to be over there in the sagebrush or something, you know, just to stake that and then probably talk with the vault and stake a perimeter of, something on the
parking area.
Flag it.
Yeah, flag it. So if you do, but wants to go up and say, hey, I've heard about this pavilion, where are we talking? You can say, hey, all four corners are up there, flag, so you can go see.
That's
it.
A good idea. It's in a turnaround.
Yeah, on the parking area.
Let me fill this out. There's a caution on the thing. Sue, we're talking about 5,000 square feet. When everybody gets to looking at the thing, you may say, gee, that's a stupid thing. It should only be 3,000 feet. You know, this is not cast in concrete as to what building and what's it going to be made out of and what color's the tin on the roof and how do you put a sidewalk all the way around it. This is a concept. We've set aside the land. Now everybody can start planning and thinking and budgeting to get the thing done.
I just open that up, you know, so the state, and then we can have, you know, some input. You know, this site plan does show it kind of the contour of the hill, but it's, you know, still a rendering. As the people are up there, especially this spring, we can walk around and stuff to, you know, even to draw where kind of the grove of trees are and stuff like that. So,
okay. I'm just going to stab one thing in there, then, since we're just pointing out stuff. By looking at the pictures, and I'm assuming you're going to follow them.
That's just an idea. No. I just give you an idea what we're thinking about on the pavilion.
Right. But you show a kitchen, is my point. Yeah. It's going to need water. It's up there.
Yeah.
Since you're undertaking this under your own, obviously, with the Meadow Spring or whatnot, you're going to provide water for this. Not the DSOR and subject.
Yep.
State certified.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay. David, on your tab and usage?
Very quickly, Joey put together some numbers. Dale has the numbers. I'm sure they've. Has anyone else seen these? I don't know.
Just now got it this morning.
Okay. So that was just put together for.
Okay. And I've used these numbers just to do some quick figuring to find out how much the cabins are really used because the numbers are thrown around. And according to my numbers, they're used while the cabins are available, which is very important because they're only available for a certain portion of the year, most of them. There are 90 weeks of cabin use. Okay? And that's lumping some 2 days and 3 days, like me, that's usually what we'll do. We'll have a weekend and go home. We don't spend a week in the cabin. But that's 90 weeks of use and then 90 weeks of no use. So it splits about 50-50 between cabins that are empty and pilot lights are on, consuming the gas, et cetera, that's been talked about. Of course, no water would be used. But the point is, they're only being used. We have a resource that's only being used 50% of the time. And so Mark has mentioned recently, and it's been brought up before, what can we do to utilize the resource that we have, possibly create income for the ranch, rent the cabins out, make it more available. We have part of the association, a few of the members, some of the members, whatever the number is, would rather no one be there. And no wear and tear on the cabin, but then we also don't get the income. And if we could pursue renting the cabin as we've done, I think, in years past, and it may be magazine ads, it might be internet, it might be eBay, whatever it is, because Ben mentioned that also, because I brought this up, if I don't use my 2 weeks, I can sell them to pay for my association fee, and that way, even though I'm not actually here at the ranch, I don't enjoy the ranch, someone else can, and I get to sell my time, and so it's somewhat of a wash. Or the association pursues these things to use cabins that sit empty to say nothing of, let's put some money towards winterizing, starting with the garden cabin that sits there. I'm not happy that it's actually sitting there available, but I can't use it. Don't get unhappy about very many things, but I think, again, there's a perfectly good cabin that could be used by me and 100 other people, but it's not even reservable because it's not, although it's functioning, it's something that I can't reserve. If I make special arrangements, then it's available, if, of course,
is available. But otherwise, that makes no sense to me. It also makes no sense that we don't put some money towards winterizing these cabins if they're going to be used. For example, cabin 10 wasn't used very much, and I'm not going to get into the specifics, but we've got resources here that are being used. So I would propose that the board put some muscle behind renting the cabin out and then offsetting some of my assessment fees so I don't have to pay as much. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or, of course, let's make some money. Let's create another income source for the ranch that we could use towards building a road or a pavilion or, heaven forbid, putting paint on the side of the cabin, whatever it is. Because those are all either we pay for it, it doesn't get done, or it comes out of fees that we are able to bring in through. And we don't have very many. We have hunting permits that we sell. We have the grazing rights. And hopefully some rental fees in addition to the money that comes in from reservation fees, which I'm opposed to because I think it's a
can I say something? I'd like to propose an idea that if the member were able to rent it out,
they're able to rent it out,
that half of that be supposed to pay for assessment, because there's still costs of running people in and taking care of it. And then the other half would be for maintenance. And if the ranch does it, then the ranch should get the money.
But we pay an association fee that should cover that expense anyway. We don't need to start splitting hairs by have the money and get the clothes in my pocket and the other half has to go back to the ranch. And you can even rent it anyway. Ben's comment earlier was, each individual member could put it on eBay or do an ad in the paper or however we want to advertise. But it's an individual thing. What I'm proposing is that as a board, we promote it somehow so that we're able to rent 90 weeks at $500. That's $45,000.
Wait, my math right? It would be a nice cushion in our thing, our little budget. If you only want to get a nice cushion in there, it would be beautiful.
Let me have a question on that. Linda, you may know, in the last 2 years, just because we've debated this before, does the board and the association have the right to the unused time or do you have the right to rent out what, the association now does own a few of their own lots that they can do that with? Have we been renting even that much time?
We rent out the cabin probably to other people that are not part of the association.
So I'm in favor.
But I do have a lot of inquiries.
I'm in favor of encouraging anything that Linda can do.
Do you turn those inquiries away, or do you encourage those inquiries?
I've done. It depends on the inquiry itself. Some of them have. I suggested that there are members of the ranch if they knew any that they could ask them because they all have 2 weeks left with them. And others, I have turned away because we can't do that. But for the most part, it's just inquiry.
Well, I was on the board when we had a rental pool, and if people weren't using theirs, then they banked it with the association. But managing that was a big cost, and to hire another staff person on, to do that. So I'm in favor of even doing some advertising. What's that? And empowering Linda to take any of those that call and say, sure, let me see if I can find a week and stuff with what she's doing anyway. She's taking that much time anyway.
Right.
And book him using that money come into the association and it benefits all of us. But at the same time, if any individual is renting out their time, that's fine. They keep the money. But it's still reserved under their lot number. They're responsible for damage. And I do think it helps to cut down, because then it's a little bit more than, control of it is a good fiasco. There's members right now that rent their timing to a friend or somebody almost every year. I mean, regularly.
Two questions. One, obviously, none of our cabins meet code, and we're all liable for anything that might happen because of something that happened within a person's training. Now, but that's true as a member, too. The member is less likely to sue in case of an accident or something that happens to them on the ranch, and we need to make sure that we provide for the coverage in case
especially if somebody's unhappy, and then their kid gets a sliver in their finger, or they fall down a stair that's not coated, or they think that the gas lights are not working, and they break them, and they leave them on.
And that's right. If they come as a member's guest, then it's understood that, hey, I may rent out my basement or whatever. It's not open to the public. This is not a
right.
It's not a resort.
It's advertised on the internet and outside. All of a sudden, put this in a whole new ballgame.
Well, I don't know.
Become a hotel, and we're under the same liability as any hotel.
I thought a little bit about that, and I think it would be easy to have the attorney write something up real quick as a pre-rental agreement that they are going to be responsible. If they have, and we're assuming no risk and liabilities from any claims from the renters. And do a walkthrough with the office, do a walkthrough before and after to make sure they did no damage to the place.
Well,
let credit card be on file and then be charged.
I think that it's a process of diminishing return. By the time we have Paul checking guests in and out and inspecting and all that, you will never make enough money to pay for the cost of what we just created. That's why I'm happy right now. There's people that know about it, just in the community they call. And for Linda, I always say, this is a private ranch, so they're not, but we do have extra time that's unused, and we'll be so to not turn anybody away. Anybody that's willing to go up there, unless the cabin is the again, is the only one that's willing. Linda takes their money and it benefits. The thing for the association to now start paying money to advertise a lot or doing that because we've been down this road. The person that attracts is somebody who shows up thinking that it's a spa,
right.
And then is mad and bad mouthing us. Hey, well, we never promised that. This is a co-op cabin system of a membership, and we all want the cabin to be better at times, but at the same time, the members love it a lot the way that it is, and we don't want elevators and something. But people, we've had that where people show up and they just, whatever. It's just natural in their mind to run away too much. So I think that we have to be, careful to encourage it. But I don't want to see us turning anybody away. The association should be running the money and keeping the money. If they run out of time, then I know there's a few people that will donate their time and leave it in the budget. As long as you're doing the work on it,
yeah.
You should keep
it. And you
can't
write that up for it because that's it.
It's $95 a night for all the cabins except for one tree and the garden we have in there, $145 a night.
Yeah, we have set rates.
Right.
Well, we can adjust that if we.
Reasonable. I think maybe we can adjust that.
Yeah.
That's totally right.
That's really reasonable for that.
It is.
It's higher, that's for sure.
We don't want to raise it because we're not even booking it now.
Yeah.
There's no argument to say, let's get more.
There was one time when we started doing this, also the parks and investments ended up dominating the amount of cabin usage that was there.
Well, that's not going to happen. It's all a matter of how many members, and most of the members reserve their cabins. I'm getting those now, those reservations now. People are booking their weeks and the time that they want in their cabins.
So
and they pay association fees, so they are allowed to rent the cabins.
But a lot of members can't necessarily plan that far in advance.
They do. Well,
that's always
first come, first serve.
That's right. And there's still a lot of slots open. There's a lot.
There
of
is.
And that's why we've gotten to the point where we're worried about overbooking.
And we don't either.
And then we find out at the end of the year we still didn't even fill up halfway. It's been reoccurring over and over.
Questions that have to be answered.
Yeah.
It's true.
We need to cover a lot of these questions.
I would love to have the cabins full all the time. I've been encouraging, since I've started working in this position, I've encouraged members to come out. We've got two coming out this year that haven't been out in years because of what I've been trying, because of my efforts. And so hopefully we would get to the point that we're fully booked.
And we talked about wear and tear on the cabins. We've assessed this, just in the last 3 years when I went on the board, and it was kind of our determination. There is a point of there's not enough usage, that it's causing us more to go and clean spiders and dead rats than if the cabin would you were to. So,
dead rats,
we got it. Well, not that, but I have to say it. If somebody's there regularly, it's easier to maintain and less costly than if Paul spent all the time just go check it.
Right.
He's wondering if, you saw in the paper where they have the bounty out for the guy that's breaking into cabins on Cedar Mountain.
Mr. Chairman, rather than having this as a rental or a
cabinet committee. I think a cabinet committee should look at the records over the last 20 years, the use of the cabins over the time, and come to us with a simple recommendation that we can have confidence in and accept and move forward. We can talk for 3 or 4 hours critiquing, well, I guess this might happen, or I guess that is the way it's been. There are facts available for us to actually look at, and so I would hope that some member of the board or somebody else would take this on and prepare a presentation for us at next month's meeting.
All right, Dave, appreciate that. That's awesome.
And look, just to follow along those lines, I took the last year off of Linda's report of who actually booked cabins, and that's what Dave was reporting off of. Just from the visual, most of our time that the cabins are booked goes from May 20th, and then it goes on to August 10th is the big run, and then another big one in September. We're carrying over into the second week of October, and then we're to Denville again. Well, that's basically where we are.
Yeah.
A lot of
prime time. So, everybody,
David, if you'll check in a little bit further for the next meeting, and if everybody would think about that with you, between now and then, and see what, contribute to that. I think we're on the right track to help try to find some funds the ranch desperately needs. So.
The other thing is we do have drop-ins of people that get stuck on the road or have a breakdown on the road, and they do that. Ranch managers do that.
And I think we set a fee even for Paul to start, to help regulate, when he spent a lot of time pulling people out of the mud and stuff, to say, hey, I work for an association, I am on salary, I can help you, but I need to charge you.
What it would cost to winterize the garden cabin as a possibility to expand the use range.
But you don't mean winterize, to make it usable during the winter.
I thought Paul told us that he was winterized. He's been working on it, and he can do it up until pretty, really deep freeze.
Yeah. He's trying to expand the window if he's able to, but it still will have to get winterized.
So I'll come back next month with a report.
Okay. Can you contact me on that, though?
Yeah. I want to be involved.
The door. I can think.
Yes.
This is over my scope of knowledge here, so I did talk to CR Doors earlier multiple times, and yeah, we're not going to be overturned, we already know that, but since we have those doors, those slabs, what would it cost us to have those, can you convert them to pre-hung?
Yeah.
And what would it cost?
I think that we just need to follow up with Paul, and if anybody disagrees, I've already told Paul, we bought doors in northern Utah, we are getting a great deal. We get them here, and Paul thought he was getting pre-hung doors. He just gets a bunch of slabs. They don't have holes drilled for the knobs. Even doing that, even if you have the tools, it takes a master to do that. And in this day and age, most people don't have that skill, so a door shop. So I don't see going even back to northern Utah. There's a couple of door shops in St. George, and I've asked Paul to – he hasn't yet. He's not here. But to get a bid to take those slabs, go back and have them pre-hung, drilled, and prepped for the garden cabin and give us a report.
Are they solid doors?
Yeah, they're good solid doors. They just were just a flat. We need the hinge rounded out. We need the doorknob and a deadbolt if we're doing that or whatever to make them consistent. And Paul, I need to know, wants to know, but I gave him the name of a couple of door shops in St. George because driving them back to northern Utah, you're not going to get a door shop up there to do it any cheaper than St. George.
Well, my friend said you have to take off the doors and take them with the slab.
No, these are new ones. So
the new ones we purchased were wrong.
Well, I know, but like we're playing a special cabin. You got to have a
And I do this a lot. So if you take out, a door, you take it out of the old cabinet, you take the old door out, match it to fit, and to pre-drill everything, it's not that
hard. No, wait, no. Absolutely. He's going to take these new pre-hung doors, he's going to pull the trim off of this one, he's going to saw it all out, throw it in the trash, slide in a new one, screw it in, and retrim it.
Now, some of the doors were mismeasured to that it wasn't even possible to do that.
So well, he looked at it and said, he says, I think the one consistent that stuff is going to have to shim and then fold in the gap almost 2 inches, and there's one or two he's going to have to really chisel to get them in there, but he thinks he can.
Okay.
So he did verify that these measurements that we have on the original document are correct. And
yes.
Is that good? We don't want to take these floors over to St. George and have them done and have them come back.
Right.
Then that might
well, that's where I still, he was going to talk with Larry Clarkson or Larry Meltzer. I don't know Larry, but you know Larry Meltzer.
Yeah.
Some of these guys that really know, and I just said,
okay,
let us double check and triple check the measurements that we don't then, you know, because we already messed up last time getting people who are unfamiliar and unknowledgeable about construction. And when we kind of ordered this and had a big miscommunication and ended up, you know, again, they worked hard on it, but it's not usable. And now we have $800 invested in these doors now. Yeah, so we need to finish it.
Yeah. All right.
Anything else, Dave? Okay. Moving right into the legal, Jody. Okay. Then let's jump right into Ryan.
Excuse me. I would like to ask for the hard copy on item number one. You indicated that several people had contacted you about the increased assessments. I think the board should know exactly what the reason was on that. And,
I'm sorry. I missed that. Yeah, there's quite a bit of concern right now from a few. I don't know exactly how many, but the concern is quite strong.
Is it in the form of emails? Can you furnish that to the president?
At this time, I can't. They want to remain anonymous, but it's coming to a point where my next email will probably tell them that they need to send a formal letter to the board because I won't. I don't need to be in the middle between.
Yeah.
So that's my next step is to ask them to do that.
Well, we have one in you, but I really think that was improper to invite them all to respond to you because of this.
I'm trying to remember why.
Yeah. And so.
And it's okay if they respond to me. It's okay. I don't have a problem with that.
They need to respond to the board.
They need to respond to the board.
Well, it's their choice, but it needs to be clear that they're responding to Jody Akers, concerned member. Then that's a private communication, or Jody Akers treasurer, then that is open to the board and should be forwarded. So, you know, one sent in their check, and Linda already announced it last month and read their response. But let me just ask, because I'm, you know, they kind of complained, said, hey, I'm paying this and want my objection noted, duly noted. We still move forward. I was not there. Are there some that are thinking we're going to go and change this now?
Well, there are some that are still wanting the assessment increase to be taken away.
Well, but now that more than half the association has paid their assessments, you know.
So, yeah, the number, like, we don't know from the association how many really are having a hard time with this or are agreeable to it. So I know that the ones that are really having a hard time with it, how big is the number? I don't know what the number is.
Those that have sent me checks, this is the only one that I got a comment.
There's a process in that. I mean,
I would really like to see, I'd really like to encourage those members who sent those emails to you to please draft that, make that public.
Mostly, the reason we put her email on there was it was not so much send all your complaints to me. It was more like.
There's a reporting person.
Yeah, no, she's like explaining why we are increasing.
Right.
I mean, I explained that in the letter, but some people need to hear it rather than just.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with that.
Well, at the same time, it's done. I mean, those people are concerned. I hear their concern. I have concern.
Sure.
But next year, you know, maybe the membership and the board should be influenced to maybe reduce it back down. But this year, I mean, this year is done. The board moved. We sent out the notice. We got to move forward.
Yeah, and at the end of this year, I mean, halfway through, we could show them in-process projects, too. I mean, we are moving forward.
Well,
this is we've evolved.
And that's what I do, what Jody's now saying. I mean, people complain to me, I'm happy to listen to a point, but then say, if you feel that strongly, get on the agenda and come to the board. Bend in my ear isn't going to fix your problem.
And as far as, I'm sorry about skipping two, three, and four. They were all, or I don't know about four, but two and three were just last meeting stuff.
Yeah. Well, then that's one thing that if those are ones that are done, you just need to let Linda know, take it off.
I'm sorry.
Because she usually leaves it on here.
Okay.
Unless we specifically talk, just so we make sure we follow up.
If anybody else has questions on those, I'll be happy to answer them, but I don't know what number four came from.
Number three,
we're gonna table number four till next meeting.
Yeah, number three, that is done. That can be taken off. I emailed him back and thought it's on there. Paul just needs to report his time, so that's taken care of. I'll keep working because I'll be involved anytime that he may be involved with Doug and the
cattle. Okay, good.
I'll just remind him. Hey,
the rental fee also, I did receive a letter, and I thought I had sent it in, but it must be with your copy of the I did have a member ask about horseback riding and wanting to, again, I guess they're dwindling, but that's one of the things that our membership really would like to have those that are visiting is horseback riding. And this gal wanted to have horses for a family reunion that they're having, and I have, I just got this thing for yesterday. I will respond that she can then have, what's her name?
Alan.
And there's others.
Yeah, there's
and I'll respond in that manner, but she just wanted it noted that she really wishes we had horses in the
world. Could you make a response about it in the newsletter? That it's an option for people?
I have, and I will.
Okay. Well,
it's on the confirmation form that they get back when they leave the cabin that they can do that ATV.
Right, our approved concessionaires, if you want something, then here's people contact, and it's a user-based system. It's not something that we're subsidizing or whatever out of the
way. Well, and I, being a board member and a member, didn't know that there was a list or there were options.
And our outside outfitters are permitted and insured, lightly insured, and we need to be additionally insured for horseback riding and any ATV rentals.
Right.
That's a huge liability.
Huge.
And the two that we've been through that. We have a signed letter from them that they will enforce their insurance and that we will be named as an additional insured.
And did we get a copy of that from them?
Yeah.
But it's something, just go here. Our biggest problem, and it's kind of interesting, this meeting is another one that there's just always enough turnover on the board. We're revisiting the same thing that I've seen for 3 years. And that's why, you know, we made a lot of progress with the website, with Vance helping maintain that. But at the same time, I'm as guilty as anybody. I never go to the website, but it's on there and stuff. So we are covered.
And if people don't find out about it until they get the confirmation, we've had groups go and come back disappointed because they didn't know it was available. They would have known it was available, and maybe that would have
changed. Well, we try to put it about once a year, at least in a newsletter, and then it's on the website, and it's on the confirmation. If there's other ideas on how to get it out, I'm
just to have Linda be a spokesperson. Again, someone please. Do what?
And give them a deal. Every time someone
deals.
You all fine with that?
Yes, there you go. And the problem is people don't read their confirmation letter, too.
Okay,
we will make sure this is on the newsletter for spring.
Anything else we can move on, Jody?
No, we can move on.
Okay. Ryan?
I don't have anything. Dale mentioned that he may have something under my shot.
We're talking about communication and marketing or identify things. Our website needs some extra help. I've looked at thousands of pictures about deer springs, and yet on our opening theme, there's probably the ugliest picture that I have ever seen of Deer Springs Ranch. Why would we possibly put the ugliest picture of Deer Springs Ranch on our thing?
Just so we don't, if you have a picture you like, email it to Fan Screen, say, Fan, please put this on the website, it will be done in a matter of days.
But somebody put it out there, and it undoubtedly is ugly. There are no State Route 89. It's not State Route 89. It's US 89 right away. And then it's up Johnson Canyon 22 miles. Well, you're halfway out. Then you missed the thing by 7 miles. You know, so there's some very simple things that somebody should critique. And that information really should be on one page, not on two pages.
That's why GPS sends us a page. Through the highway and airplane.
There's some, obvious things that we should be more prepared.
You know, you get our pictures out there, too.
Yeah. So that was my thing.
You just got something on the
air. To see you improve both that and the reservation system that's under your direction.
We're doing what's on now.
Next meeting, I'll get a picture of you two in a moment.
And I think that's a great activity. I think Dave hit it.
Dave's suggestion of having a photo competition.
I think that's your awesome.
Website picture for the
that sounds like an activity person.
That's me. Let's do it. All right.
If there's something else, I'd motion that we adjourn.
Really?
All right. You missed that. Motion to adjourn to go to a quick executive session.
That's my favorite vocal.